Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call this meeting to order. And I have a few announcements and about our process this evening. And I would be very happy if you would listen to what I'm saying about the microphones in front of you. That's the most important thing. The microphones in front of you, when you are using them, again, the 6 to 8 inches away, but when you are not using them, it makes good sense not to move the microphone toward the speaker on your desk, because we're getting a feedback through the speaker because of the live mic. So if you don't want the mic in front of you, do not move it to either side. Move it straight away from you. Does everybody?
Thank you.
And this comes from on high.
Literally.
Okay. And we've been having some feedback trouble and things. And again, this is a minor adjustment to the microphone. But keep it in front of you. Don't move it toward the speaker on the side. Okay? Excuse me. The way this process works this evening, the committee needed, the legislature needed, 8 people to start the meeting. We have 13, to at least 13 people here, I believe, and the meeting can begin. Any amendment that is presented has to have a majority of the people in the room. So if there's 13 people, you know what the majority is to get something moved forward into the tentative budget. Any questions about that? It's a pretty simple process. Martha?
Are we going to take things in the order that are on the show?
There is a madness to the way we put it together, but there are some other things, and if you would allow me, Mike has a resolution or has an amendment. He has to be in Dryden at a certain point. If we're going and it kind of runs into his time, ability to leave and get there on time, then I'm going to jump things around. But as far as I'm concerned right now, this is the way we're going to go, unless something happens in the middle of the meeting that I may want to change it. The process to amend, a motion, a second, a majority of the people in the room, it becomes a part of the tentative budget. In terms of how we all go about saying what we say, I would, and I believe you would, probably appreciate the fact 2 bites at the apple on a single issue seems to make sense to me. At some point, there should be a vote, and frankly, we're not going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Everyone knows why we're here. Everyone knows what they want to do, and the positive people can talk about it, and the negative people can talk about it, and I think we can proceed from that point, if that's okay with everyone. I will certainly not limit anyone, but, we're not going to go back and forth for a long time on every issue. Go ahead.
That's understood within a meeting, but sometimes things change, later on that end up maybe shifting. For example, if we find a place to cut that's maybe not here tonight, we might find another place to cut, then people might feel. So I'm just.
Okay.
Okay. And I wonder if we're going to get an update on sales tax.
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Okay. Allow me to run the meeting, and we'll do that. Carol, you had your hand up.
Yeah, about the mic. You're fading in a little bit, in and out.
Well,
what
that's not something only a doctor can fix.
I was waylaid. I missed
right
the instruction.
On. Straight
right
on. I don't know. My wife says that it's always good when I fade in and out, so on the mic.
We want you here.
All right. The simple rule is try to keep it in front of you and not bite it off. sales tax discussion that Martha brought up, and I was going to ask the county administrator to talk about that. And here you are, Joe Mariana, sales tax.
Thanks, Jim. When we set up the budget for 2014, we looked at sales tax collections through the first half of this year, and they were trending a lot slower than we had hoped. Usually you assume 2% is a normal rate of growth. In fact, way back in April, we had assumed 2% growth in the sales tax. By the time we were putting this budget together, the best information we had was what's called the reconciled second quarter. Everything's trued up. So at that time, sales tax for this year was growing at a rate of 1.15%. So in putting our sales tax estimate together for next year, we felt it was prudent to use the 2013 growth number of 1.15%, because you only know what you know, and we knew that was the rate of growth for 2013. And then we put another point and a half on it for 2014. Wednesday night, the state released the sales tax numbers for the reconciled third quarter. And we had a good third quarter. So at the end of the third quarter, our sales tax, countywide sales tax receipts, are up 2.48%. Pretty good growth. We had a third quarter, I think it was about 5% for the third quarter. So again, year to date was up 2.48%. So what I'm bringing to the legislature tonight is a suggestion that we amend the amount of sales tax revenue that we're assuming for next year, not to assume that it will grow by 2.48%, because it's clear this is still a very volatile revenue. It's bouncing all over the place. But I do think it's reasonable to bring that revenue up to a growth factor of 2% for this year, as opposed to 1.15%. If we do that, that will bring a little over $259,000 of additional revenue to the budget. And because the way the property tax works, everybody around this table knows, the way the property tax works, it's the gap filler. It's whatever you can't generate in other money goes into the levy. So if you bring $259,000 of new sales tax into the budget, it has the effect of reducing the amount you need to levy by the same amount of money, $259,000. If you were to do that, that has an effect on the levy of about 0.6%. So we would go from a levy of increase of 3.5%, actually 3.54%, to a revised levy, and Kevin double-checked me on this, of 2.948%. Does that sound about right? Call it 2.95%. So that would be the effect of bringing these new revenues into the budget. So again, I just want to emphasize a couple of things. I don't think it's going overboard. I think it's reasonable that we held back in the first half of the year because it was so anemic. But now with a demonstration that 2013 is going better than we thought, we feel it's prudent to bring it in, recognizing there's still volatility there. And again, if you do, it's another $259,000 of revenue to the budget. And the way the arithmetic of a budget works, that's a direct reduction of the levy, bringing it down to 2.9, call it 5%.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Someone move that, please.
You know, I have a question first. Point of information. It's or to spend 200,000 or 259,000 and be at the point we suggested.
That's your choice. If the money comes into the budget, it automatically brings the levy down. That's the arithmetic effect of bringing new revenue in. The legislature then can choose to then spend up to where you were before, whatever level you choose to be.
Where did you start?
You were at 3.5%. 3.54%.
Again, has someone moved that? Pat Pryor moved. Is there a second? Martha, a second? Any discussion? Does everyone understand what we're doing? Martha.
So, for example, if I look at Section 2, page 1, which is the overview of the budget, there's a line toward near the bottom of the page that says sales tax and unallocated revenues. I mean, yes. Show us what changes on this page if we accept this revised statement of sales tax.
If you look at that line, and that's a good one to look at, that does include more than just the sales tax. There's some other unallocated revenues in there as well. But that number would be going up by $259,036.
So that $35,643,000 goes up by $259,000?
That's correct. And automatically then, just through the arithmetic of the budget, the property tax levy of $45,328,604 would decline by $259,036.
And this levy amount, then, that go to the right-hand column, that's where we put in 2.95%.
Correct.
That's
okay.
Right.
Brian, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, just another clarification, Joe. You're talking about quarterly adjustments, and now we've gotten to the third quarter. That's the third quarter adjustment for the year or for the third quarter?
This is for the third quarter. So it seems like this is a pretty good predictor of the full year. We don't want to go to the full 2.48, but again, we know what we know about 2013. To this point, even after it's trued up in the third quarter, it's growing at a rate of 2.48%. So we're saying let's give ourselves a little bit of latitude in the fourth quarter. Maybe we won't experience such strong fourth quarter growth. So let's assume that 2013 grows by 2%.
Yeah.
And then build on that one.
Anything else? All in favor of moving that money into the unallocated revenue line, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, if any? Thank you. One other thing that I forgot at the beginning. Last week in the discussion at the public forum, it came up. We were talking about Reed Community. We were talking about living wage. We were talking about various things. It appears at least some people have informed me or said something to me that I may have given an impression that if we put $100,000 aside or X number of dollars aside, that it was definitely going to Reed Community. What I really meant was it was going to a potential use in living wage. I did not mean to specify Reed Community or Frank Proto's business or Jim Dennis's snowplow business. What I was talking about was money that goes into potentially being spent for living wage and not any one particular place. First item on the agenda is mine. It's new. It's soil and water, and I want to reduce the budget by $36,000. $97, removing the rent cost because we no longer have to pay the rent. They're coming to live in our buildings, and I would move that. Brian, second. Discussion. Pat?
I'm trying to remember, and maybe you can help me with this. Frank, you might be able to help too. We have a lease up there that has to be... What are we doing? Are we at the end of the current lease? Is there going to be any further rent payment that we need to take into consideration here?
Go ahead, Joe.
We're currently on a month-to-month. We've advised the landlord that we will be paying rent through the end of December, and it will stop at that point.
So does this take that into account so we would have enough to go through the end of the year?
It does. We're yes.
Someone else had a hand up. Frank?
Yeah. It's my recollection that the soil and water budget that was presented to us included the rent. It was moved from the rent line to their operating expense because they need to get back on track. Do I understand that correctly?
Almost, and I think it may have been in the telling. Soil and Water asked for an extra $15,000 in target support. In making that ask, though, they said, kind of, we'll help you pay for it, if we move into Bostwick, because the county won't have to pay a rent amount anymore. So it's really the line item for rent has been an item for the county to pay historically. What's happening here is that $36,000 the county would have spent for rent will go to zero. But again, when Soil and Water explained their request for an extra $15,000 on their side of the budget for their operating costs, they did say, we're going to try to help you cover that by getting into a free rent situation so you will be spared that burden.
Anyone else?
But if that's not, did I not make it clear?
excuse me. My recollection was that, well, I want to find their budget first. Can we come back to that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
While we're here, Kevin, are you looking also?
Section 5, page 61.
Yeah.
Jim, could I jump in a second?
Yeah, sure.
Joe, on the page that we received on the 8th of October, it indicated that their recommended budget was $168,133.
It's two pieces, Frank. Right. One is the program expense, and one is the rent that we've been paying for ourselves.
I understand that. The target went from 132 on program expense to 117, and the recommendation on the OTR was to include the 15,000. The rent number was carried over to the right column called total recommended also. That totaled 168. I just was asleep during the discussion, but I thought that they were part of the discussions that we had with them was in order to help them get back on their feet because of the debacle that they've gone through the last period of time, was to let them keep the rent money for next year.
Go ahead.
Essentially, we're letting them keep some of the rent money for next year. They asked for an extra $15,000.
I got that.
And again, that's been recommended in this budget, $15,000 increase in target.
I see that.
But by zeroing out that rent amount, the county is saving the $36,000. So essentially, the Soil and Water, by coming into Bostwick, is saving us $36,000, and they're asking us to rededicate $15,000 of that to support their ongoing operating costs.
Right, but on page, section 5, page 61, and maybe my eyes are blurring, the total recommended budget for 2014, which includes the rent line, and I understand what you just explained, Joe, about they were saving it because we're not paying it up at Hanshaw mm-hmm. Road, but the number is 168. It's not 168 minus a portion of the 36.
I think the way to look at the 168 is this was the county's level of commitment to solid waste, a part of which was direct subsidy or support. A part of it was paying their rent. That was the 168. Okay? Now, and that assumed that they were in rented space. Now with them moving out of rented space and moving into our space, we can reduce that amount by $36,097. We can fully address their operating requests, which is up $15,000 in target from where it was before. Now, one thing that may complicate this, when you look at 2013, the 132, it looks like it dropped from 2013 to 2014. You see that? But in 2013, there was a $15,000 one-time contribution to Soil and Water for hydrilla, which went away.
Carol.
Yeah. I'm confused. The reason that I spent so much time questioning that 15 was because I thought we were also giving them the 34, letting them retain the 34. I feel differently about the 15 that I called and spent Kevin's time on, if it's in addition versus instead of. So just,
well, here's,
just give us the simple.
Okay.
So
simply,
we would need the assumption that you were using was that we would take out the 34, but we haven't actually done that yet. So this motion would take out the 34, but still you're recommending the over target request of 15.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, Martha. So we're adding 15. We're taking out 36 and adding half of that 36 back in.
We're taking away the bill. We're taking away the rent bill.
Yes.
It's one we have
so
to pay.
Right. So this, the net effect is that we've paid the rent and we're giving them the 15. Right. We've removed the rent expense.
For ourselves.
For ourselves.
Right.
Right.
Pat.
I actually do recall, I have to say, I recall the comment that was made when the presentation was done here that you mentioned, Joe, when they described it that way. But there is, I think, an additional complication here for the district, and I think it's going to be up to us as a group to decide how to deal with this. And I can tell you, this has been a very, very challenging situation for those of us that are on the board, and the staff up there at the district has done an incredible amount of work to try to get the district back on a sound financial footing. And unfortunately, despite what may have been said here on the floor when they did their presentation, which I don't dispute, the budget that we have built for the district was based on these figures with the rent money still in there, because at that point we didn't know that we were going to be moving. So I don't, you know, I can't make a strong argument that says that we're obligated to keep it in there, but certainly if there's anything that the legislature feels they can do in this situation, it will make a huge difference this coming year for the district.
The county administrator.
We are, if you approve this, we are still fully funding their request for operating support for next year. So they'd ask for an extra $15,000, and they will be whole at $15,000. Now, I worry a little bit about 2013 and whether they're going to be able to finish on the mark, and we may need to come back and talk about 2013. But for 2014, the budget that Les crafted, that John worked on, that we reviewed, is fully funded with the $132,000 target support for the operation, without any of this rent being involved at all. They have never been they've never had access to this rent money. I think what John Negley was saying was, look, we're going to help because we're going to move into to space that's free and we'll save the county some money. That will help you with the capacity to pay us this extra 15. So again, I just have to emphasize, they'll be whole with this with the amount that's in here for their operation.
Carol, you had your hand up. Do you have a question?
Oh, no, I have okay. Another idea. But
Brian,
go ahead. Wait. Yeah, I'm not going to make a motion yet. But
I did not ask if you were making a motion. I asked if you had a question.
No, but I still have my hand up. Okay, come back to me. So one way to approach this would be to, if it's more palatable to people, would be to not grant the over-target request, but just change this to 27,057 and not do the 15. I don't think we should do both. So one or the other way, either way, doesn't matter to me.
Joe, you've already supported the 15,000.
Right.
It's already part of the recommended budget. And the rent is a separate line because we pay it out of our finance department. We don't. The soil and water doesn't touch the rent. Basically, they've been going rent-free.
It's never been their money.
I don't like saying this, but I'm confused. Only because we're going to increase the levy by however much that $36,000 adds up to. to pay ourselves.
No, we're decreasing it.
It's going to zero.
It's a minus.
Right now we're renting space
on
Hampshire Road.
The 36 is a minus.
Okay. But that's still in there to pay for the Bostwick Road?
No.
No.
We're saying take it out. Get rid of it. We're not going to pay rent anymore.
I thought we already did that. I thought we already moved out.
We have to make an amendment to do that because it's in the budget a certain way, and that's why there's a minus sign in front of the number.
Okay. You just approved the move. So at your last meeting, you approved the move. With that now known, we can safely take this $36,000 out of the budget, knowing we're not going to have to pay rent on Hanshaw anymore.
My bad. I assumed that by moving, we were automatically going to save the payment of rent.
No. Before we we go on, and I would like you to document number one. There are a bunch of numbers. Some have minuses in front. Some have nothing. And we all know what a minus is. Pam and then Pat.
Well, I would just like to point out that this, we're talking about $15,000 or some small amount of money, and we are being consistent with our tendency to spend huge amounts of time on very small sums of money. This, please, people, let's just move on. This is not worth all of this time. We have so much to do, and I really think we are getting lost in this.
Pam, I would appreciate your comment about an hour from now. Pat, go ahead.
Now that Joe has further explained and assured me a little bit better about how this all came about and what it means, I think Joe is correct. I think this is what we should do, much as I would like to have more money for the district.
Dooley, do you think Joe is correct, or would you like to make a statement?
I believe that I shared Brian's confusion initially, because when we understood that they were moving to Bostwick Road, we would save the rent. I thought that was done. Similarly, when we learned that assessment was moving ahead of schedule with part of their work, I assumed that was done, but I noticed that's another change you're making tonight. So I don't have a problem confirming what I thought was already done. But with respect to soil and water, I left the Water Resources Council early today, but we were hearing a report about the hydrilla situation. And it may well be that as more is discovered and costs go up, we may be tapped again as a county to help supplement that. And I just wanted to say that rather than trying to put money into soil and water now, I would like us to be aware that we may be asked to do that later in the year.
All in favor of this resolution, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand, please. Opposed? One opposed. Thank you. The next one.
Point of information.
Yes.
Your explanation of the pluses and minuses on the sheet, according to that item 6 on here, the first one that has chalk next to it, really should read zero in the dollar amount, because it's a net zero. It's taking money.
Okay, when we get there, you can explain that. The next one, Pam, hang on, it's $888, and I would move that, and Kevin will explain what we're doing. It's a match. It has to do with a dollar amount that's... And Pat, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, so this was just a real quick, again, these first handful were just trying to clean up the budget book, because we just have to have those motions through, because currently the tentative budget is what Joe gave you. So this is just one of those additional cleanups. TCAT came back and said originally they had requested $255,000 before the mortgage tax came in. They came back and said $110,090. What we had recommended was $110,978. That difference is $888. So I was just trying to line up the requested with the recommended. It really has almost no impact on the levy. It's just a cleaning up the document. That's all.
Motion.
Oh, it's on the floor and second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, Benny?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Third one that I have is... moving new public interface, well, it's minus $20,000 from assessment And it has to do with implementation expense happening in 2013, and I want to remove the one-time expense. And I would move that. Is there a second, Dooley? Discussion. Pam.
I just want to make sure that it's clear that this is taking the $20,000 out of
right.
the budget.
Yeah. So. Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Raise your hand. Opposed, Penny? Thank you. Next one, Burbank. Youth Services. Programmatic expansion of 4-H Urban Outreach Program. And Will, there you are. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I would move this. And do we need a second on that, Jim?
We do. Okay. Is there a second? Dave? And the amount is $20,000.
So this is one time, and it's, I think, appropriate because it's support for a program that's been going for some 30 years at one location, is moving to a new location. And if it's okay, Jim, I understand the coordinator, Suzanne, is here, and I wonder if she could just say a few words about what it does, maybe.
Would you come to the microphone back by the two Kevins over here, please?
Hi, good evening. I'm passing around a very simple chart to show basically what's happened to our program in the last 7 years to our funding structure. And when you receive it, you'll see that we've actually lost a tremendous amount of private funding. Can you hear me? Sorry. Okay, sorry about that. That is a result of the apartments at West Village changing ownership from a local owner to an out-of-town owner. And since we've lost that funding, we were really forced to charge small fees to families, and that had a detrimental effect, a dramatic effect on our enrollment for families who basically stopped coming to the program. And you'll see at the bottom of the chart the numbers that we lost from before and after fees, and then when they also went up, we charged them nothing for 2 months last spring just to see what happened, and they all came piling in the door. But what I want to say about the over-target request is that essentially that's going to help us stabilize the program. We are expanding, but it's because we really don't have a choice. There's a greater need in the West Hill community among all the apartment complexes there. And by serving more kids, we'll be able to charge fees not only to the families we've been serving, but to new families that can actually afford to pay them, which will bring in more revenue for our program and also attract more private funding in the future. So essentially, it's really to stabilize us and get us some ground back again where we can continue in the future to be a little bit more sustainable than we have been.
Okay, questions? Please, I will, Leslin, go ahead.
Thank you for the information. I do have a question. It's disturbing to see the change in funding because of the new owners. And I understand that there have been conversations happening with the new owners about what kind of support they will give, not only to security measures, but also programs like this that help. With that, can you give me a sense of where those conversations are, where they're going, if you all have been involved?
We have been involved in some of the conversations, but that's been somewhat separate from our decision to move to the LACS school. Basically, the choice we made was because there are many, many more families on West Hill that were not able to be served when we were at West Village Apartments, and that was due to space and the owner's request that the program only be open to residents of West Village. So we were very limited in who we could serve, and we lost huge numbers of kids. So we decided to really meet the needs of West Hill and open it so West Village and other families can be there. I don't know if I answered your question. I don't know specifically about what the West Village owners have agreed to do or not to do, but I know that they're showing some effort to restore the community in some ways.
May I ask a follow-up, please?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
My follow-up is the program already operating out of LACS?
Yes. We're in week three, so it's very recent.
And could you tell me what do those numbers look like in terms of enrollment from West Village?
From West Village,
residents?
I would say we have two youth. We have four youth from Chestnut Hill, and we have received multiple phone calls from area residents, Chestnut Hill, Cedar Creek, and West Village, all showing great interest in the program. Some issues have been the timing of the program with school dismissal, with the distance, so we're working on transportation in some cases, and the fee still seems to be a challenge.
Thank you.
I have Frank, Carol, Martha, and Will.
Thanks, Jim. I'm surprised at the small number of kids that you just mentioned. That's sad. If this is approved as a one-time, let me ask both of my questions, and then you can take them anywhere you want. Can you tell us, if you know, what the breakdown of the 20,000, how will you spend the 20,000? Will it go to reimburse families or subsidize, whatever? And I'm reading right from the explanation in the budget book. Without the OTR, the expansion will not be possible for 2014, and the program staff will still continue to explore alternative ways to expand in the future. The OTR would serve as a way to pilot the program so that outcomes can be increased as program staff look at more sustainable funding, including a potential fee structure, other municipal contributions, or long-term grant funding while continuing to hone their programmatic structure. I assume with the OTR approved, you're still going to do all that because this is only a one-time allocation. Got any idea with, I'm not happy to see that line going the way it's gone or has gone, but can you give us some idea of if you know any more specifics about what you plan to do? Can you answer the first question as well?
Sure. The 20,000 would be broken down partly for staffing. We do have a newly hired program assistant that was hired to help with the numbers at our new site, as well as increasing basic expenses for the program, such as snacks for the kids every day and program materials, teaching supplies, which have the budget lines have been extremely small in the last few years. We've done a lot with very little. So I've increased those. And then also, as I mentioned before, we'll be able to charge fees to the families that can afford it, but yet make it affordable and accessible to the families who can't. So that will actually increase our numbers if we either eliminate or reduce the fee for families who are just not showing up because of it. So that will bring in more kids and more support in the future. Another thing that I've been doing for several years to stay afloat is to write lots of grants. And I've been fortunate to have had luck and success with a lot of that. But it hasn't been, it's not sustainable every year. You know, there needs to be another solution. We've really worked at this for several years and found that moving to LACS and expanding to the larger community is pretty much our only choice right now to get more kids in and therefore more revenue, which will attract more private funding.
Thank you. Carol.
I appreciate the need on West Hill, that there are families, many families there, with pretty serious needs, and that affects not only the neighborhood on West Hill, but all of us in the city and all of us in the county, because there's just a concentration there. It affected, it certainly, we saw it here in our discussion about the sale of the Biggs property, that the need coming out of that neighborhood, it was great, and it's impacting decisions about development and other things that's spilling out.
There's a lot on emotions that we have that will continue to address how much wiggle room do we have in the budget, what kind of taste do we have around the table here for adding things that will become target, I believe. You know, once you fund this program 1 year, you're not going to establish it in 1 year. You're going to need probably more than that. So I just wonder if there's just a different order in which we can take this so we know more. Some more questions and discussion here. And then my question has to do with the space at LACS. Lest I knew that was a pretty tight space with a lot going on in it. I'm not understanding where you put it and what impact it may have on other programs there.
Well, actually, the school has been very generous and supportive and hosting us. They've given us a large classroom as well as the use of the cafeteria. And the space more than suits our needs. We've also been offered to use the cafeteria before school dismisses at 3:30 because our elementary youth get off the bus around 2:20, and we're entertaining the thought of bringing them down to the school so they can work on homework and doing some reading in that time gap until 3:30 when program starts. So we've actually had a nice arrangement, and Principal Carruthers is enthusiastic to have us there.
So is it safe to say space is not a problem?
Correct.
Okay. Martha, and then Will, and then Brian.
Thank you. I am looking at, I thought I saw in the paper today or Saturday about the recent Park Foundation grants. So I looked, and it looks like maybe, I hope this is the correct amount in the correct year, 4-H Urban Outreach Program, $15,000 from the Park Foundation. Is that something that you just received?
Yes, we've received Park Foundation funding for the last 4 years.
Okay, so is this 15 a continuing?
Yes, it's been 15 each year.
Okay. And then I also heard on the radio that the owners or the landlord in West Village was contributing $21,000 to the Ithaca Police Department for additional patrols. Does that ring a bell?
I thought it said 12.
I guess my question is if 12,000, 21, I don't know. It's not your job to know that number. But we have a problem holding on to the stuff we have to do for our own internal departments. So I'm at this point, I know it's obviously an important program, important initiative. I would rather be the last, resort rather than the first resort. So tell me again about the landlord and the new owners of the apartment building, the apartment complex, and what did they What's the approach been with them?
Well, we moved out in August, or September, rather. So there hasn't been further contact with the owner, but we were there for the past 5 years since Bruce Abbott sold the complex. So they did provide donations, contributions throughout the year, which you'll see in the graph. And the space was rent-free to us. Beyond that, I don't have any more to share, really, other than we've shared it with them that we would be moving out so we could serve more kids in the community. And as I mentioned before, we were not able to serve other West Hill residents at their complex for liability and insurance reasons.
But you're still serving a lot of kids from that complex, that's the goal.
Yes.
So I would hope that you would go to the land, to the owners, and say, look, we still want to serve your families. Mm-hmm. So there's, even though we've moved out, I would like to see that those conversations happen. I'm also interested in the fact that it looks like, from what you've said, the actual costs are what we would call ongoing expenses. It's not like a one-time expense might be new furniture to fit a space or computers or something. You buy it once and you're done. This makes me feel like this is really an ongoing request, not a one-time expense.
Okay.
Will. So I saw Ken in the back. Ken, did you want to say anything that they had to this and address some of these questions?
I just want to speak to that, the Martha's question or statement, and that is that, in fact, the intention here is actually to use this money as a way of building revenue streams that would be sustainable. There are two revenue streams. One of which is there, which you saw has decreased this $30,000 whatever down to zero now. And believe me, we've worked really hard with the owners of that complex over the years, and it doesn't promise that particular source does not seem to be one that would have a lot of potential based on the experience that we've had over these years. However, what is really critical, I think, with that is that it was when it was owned locally. And when there was local involvement in this, there was local ownership invested. They had a reason to actually want to see this work, and so they put money into it. And the whole point is to expand the number of neighborhoods we're working in, because there'll be a broader base of folks who actually do have resources, like the previous owner did, who would probably contribute to this. And we've had some indications of that already. The second revenue stream is is fees. Now, in this particular case, the fees have been really problematic with West Village. However, we do have other neighborhoods where we've worked, where we have been able to raise raise revenues through fee for service for the same program. And so we do have every expectation that if we open this up, and that was part of the reason for putting it in LACS, is we've opened it up to a whole set of neighborhoods. We expect that we'll have, over time, we'll have a fairly large number of kids coming to that, some of which will come from families who will be willing to pay for it. So if we're looking at $20,000 as a one-time, our expectation is that we'll need roughly $15,000 to $17,000 a year to keep that going. And we do have every expectation that we could raise $15,000 to $17,000 on an annual basis through fees and through this through local support. And so that's the reason. It's basically to open up this. It's the only way we really have to open up the market, in a sense, to open up that space to a broader range of neighborhoods, and then be able to derive revenue from offering that service in those neighborhoods.
And Jim, if I could just add a little bit, and I apologize to everybody for not maybe creating a better context, but for those who are familiar with West Hill, you probably are. Been aware that there have been a number of there's been a concern about sort of the stability of the neighborhood and a series of incidents that have led to kind of a climate of fear, and last summer there was a very, very well-attended meeting at LACS where people came and talked about what can we do about this. And I'd say one of the most hopeful things that came out of that was the news that this program, which has been going some 30 years and was doing a good job for many years of serving the residents of West Village, was in the process of moving over to LACS. If anybody has not been in LACS the past couple of years, they did a wonderful expansion and renovation. The facility is actually very nice. There are many rooms, but it's underutilized after school. And it's beautifully positioned to serve not only West Village, but Chestnut Hill and Cedar Creek and the adjacent neighborhoods. And I know there's a fear that we'll get sucked into sort of perpetual support for this program, but I really do think it's a legitimate request for a one-time infusion of some resources to help them bring back a program that has a very, very well-established track record, but needs that right now.
Brian.
Thanks. And Will, thanks for mentioning fear as it pertains to West Hill, because I know that's to be true. And I think because of that, you know, it's one thing to publicly chastise a private owner of an apartment complex, but as Martha points out, no, they didn't put money towards this, but they certainly put money towards the fear factor, and we all heard that on the radio today. Can I ask, what are the numbers? What's the participation in this program? Kids?
Well, we've just opened. This is our third week. So as of last week, we were up to 6 enrolled. It's very small. It's still early, and we have a lot of hope.
Okay. I had asked around. I heard the number 12. Does that sound about?
It could be approaching that. I haven't checked in with our program manager today about it.
No, not right now. I'm talking about in the past.
Oh, in the past. Yes, last year. And the graph shows that after the fees were charged, we did have, on average, about 12 kids attending per day.
Okay. I do want to point out that if you divide 20,000 by 12, you get $3,200. And in my district, maybe about 3 of those might add up to the entire Groton Youth Services budget for the year. I'm just trying to put things in perspective here as we contemplate this.
I have Pam, Leslin, Pat, and Frank.
Well, the number 12 that you're talking about, that was after you started charging fees.
Yes.
What was it at its height? How many people were you getting in there? What was the program?
I would say on average on a given day about 40 kids.
Okay. So that's before you started charging fees.
Correct, when the program was free.
I would like to point out, in addition to what Will has said about West Hill and the need up there and the fear up there, I mean, I think it's palpable, the fear. And really, they've had some very serious incidents. And I think it's in the interest of all of us to try and help the youth in that community have the best opportunities that they possibly can. I would also suggest that one-time money doesn't always go for one, you know, buying some particular piece. It means our commitment is for 1 year, that we are willing to subsidize or support something while other forms of funding are found, and that's how I would view this. This is something that we're going to do for 1 year. Or we make that commitment, and anything that happens beyond that would be a separate decision. But there's no expectation. There can be no expectation that beyond this year that $20,000 would be there. But I for one, am going to support this because I think for this year, I think this is worth our trying to to help this get up off the ground and going again.
Eliza.
So I, thanks, Will, for saying most of what I wanted to say. Though I will support this program, and if it comes back, I don't have to fear that it comes back next year or the year after or whenever after for support, because this is a group of individuals who, without this support and this program, may not have another option. And, you know, it's part of what we do is provide that safety net for those in our community who are most vulnerable. My concern is now that you have moved to LACS, that every effort will be made to make sure that the children at West Village are served. That is my biggest fear and concern with this program, is I don't want to see it move and where it was traditionally and originally and why it was there, to provide a place for those young people that they now feel that they can't come to it where it is located. The accessibility is one thing. It's not that far, but we all know how those things work. So my expectation is to see a lot of outreach done to encourage them to be there as well. So thank you for doing what you do.
May I comment quickly on that, just quickly? Our program manager, Jamila Simon, has done an outstanding job of outreach, and she personally goes to the bus stop daily to meet the families as they get off the school bus, and she walks with them to LACS. And she's also gone door to door. She's talked with families. She calls them weekly to remind them program is up and running. She'll do anything in her power to make sure they know this opportunity is still there for them.
Thank you.
So we're doing our best.
I have Pat and then Frank.
This is a very challenging exercise, and I'm very cognizant of the remarks that were made before about the amount of time that was spent on small amounts of money, but sometimes what we're talking about is part of a bigger picture, and that's kind of how I see this. We have, since the time I've been on the legislature, had very, very tough years. I came out in 2010, right after the whole economy crashed in 2009, and our budgets have been extremely challenging each year. We do seem to be a bit stabilized this year. We're trying to keep our programs intact, not losing any of our programs. And I think, I'm not trying to speak for anyone else, but I think we're all very aware of the huge impact on the community, various community agencies, of the cutbacks from the federal and state government, from grantors who no longer come through with the grant funding that used to be there. At the same time, I'm also very cognizant of the fact that what we're doing here with not only this request, but a number of the current requests we're going to have to deal with, is we are being asked as a county legislature to go back and fill in those gaps from all the other places that funding has been lost, and we're asking our county taxpayers to pay for it. I wish that the image that some people have in the town of Lansing were correct. I've been told that I live in an elite community because people are familiar with some of the big homes along the lake or that overlook the lake. And it's certainly true. We have some very well-kept, very nice property in Lansing. And people in those homes can probably very well afford to pay a little bit more in their county taxes to help fund some of these excellent programs. You know, I'm a big supporter of mentoring. But I also am very aware, because I knock on doors out there, that there's another part of Lansing that a lot of people are not familiar with, and that's the part where we have trailer parks, we have people who are living in homes, elderly couples who are living in homes that they've lived in their whole lives practically, or their married lives anyway,
are getting older, trying to age in place, their income has dropped, and who really can't afford to pay higher property taxes in order to support the programs like this that all the other funders have stepped away from. We really have become, I think, in a lot of senses, the place of last resort for people to come to. And I'm having a really hard time trying to balance the need of our county property taxpayers with the needs of these agencies. And I want to say this tonight because I don't plan to keep repeating it each time one of these requests comes forward, but you are probably going to see me voting no on a number of requests because I know that our property taxpayers in many parts of the community are at their limit with what they can do. Not only that, the property tax is a very regressive tax. It doesn't fall most heavily, a lot of times it doesn't fall most heavily on those that are most able to pay. It has nothing to do with how much you're able to pay. So we have people simply because they own property that happens to be valued for one reason or another, we're paying very high property taxes. It's not a fair tax. On this particular request, I would like to know who prepared this paper that we have today. This says youth spending tax.
Are you talking about the recreation?
Youth spending tax.
I had asked the county administration, Kevin and Joe, to prep that. Okay. For us to look
just
at.
For the people who haven't had a chance to see this, I'll summarize a couple things here. We have three other counties in Tompkins that are compared in terms of the amount of funding they commit to youth services. The bottom line is, if we look at spending per capita, the other three counties, Erie, Monroe, and Onondaga, spend 35 cents, 51 cents, and 50 cents, respectively, per capita for youth services. Tompkins County spends $8.98. I wish we could fund all of these programs, but I just do not think it's fair to ask one group of taxpayers to take on the burden of the cuts that another group has suffered.
I have Frank and then Martha. And Carol, everyone has one of these on their desk.
Mine is a point of information about these, since I didn't realize our staff had prepared this.
Well, who would?
Do I have a point of information about this?
No, not now.
No? Okay.
No. It's information as we're going through things that have to do with youth and recreation. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get to it. Frank.
Thank you. You know, the spreadsheet that we received this evening that has the motions on it, most of them hover around the $20,000 range. The two biggest spenders are Carol and Nathan, according to this sheet. So just wanted to draw your attention to that. But the concern that I have, and, you know, the human service agencies and many of the items on this sheet come through the Health and Human Services Committee. And you probably don't need to be reminded of this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. $20,000 to any one of these agencies is a huge amount of money. I mean, $5,000 is a huge amount of money because they can get 10 cents out of a nickel sometimes. And I don't think that this request is off the wall, and I'm glad to hear what Leslin said, that we may see some of this again. I heard Ken mention that they're hoping to raise, and I heard you say it earlier when I asked the question too, what's the plan for replacing this money long, you know, as you go through raising from other sources? You mentioned grants and whatnot. This is like priming the pump, folks. And frankly, I think helping the kids out is not a bad thing. Because maybe we can reduce the cost of the police protection or what they're talking about on West Hill if we increase a few bucks here and pick up What did you say the number was? Or, Pam, what did you say that number was? 40? It was up to 40 at one point? The 4-H programs work really well, and those of us that are pretty familiar with them, a lot of them exist outside the city, and some we all have something going in our communities. Frankly, I'd urge you to support the request, but hold their feet to the fire next year when you come back. Let's see what the results are. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying this as a one-time. And Ken already made the commitment that he's going to reduce this to 15,000 by next year. I heard you mention that name, Ken, that number. So we ought to pay attention to that, and let's support it.
Martha, I have Martha, Mike, and Kathy.
How many staff people are involved in this?
There are 4 staff people, 3 of them part-time and 1 full-time.
And when it's fully, you got all the kids you can manage, how many kids is that going to be? What if it were full, what would that be?
We've advertised a max of 50 for each age group. And I should mention, too, that our staff is largely made up of volunteers and work-study students from Cornell and Ithaca College and the community. And we really could not work without them, because they act as the tutors and the mentors for the youth.
And have you asked the city for money?
Not specifically, unless they're, you know, smaller grants, but not the city of Ithaca specifically.
So are the neighborhoods that these are, that you expect to draw from, they're all in the city or are there some in the town?
Mostly the city of Ithaca. There is a little bit into the town of Ithaca, West Hill primarily. So we won't close the program to them if they're interested and they can get there. But really, we're focusing on the city of Ithaca as much as possible.
I'm gonna oppose this at this time. We have other meetings. We have a meeting tomorrow night and October 28th. There will be a public hearing on our tentative budget and then opportunity even after that for us to make changes. I'd be willing to, and I know we're talking about small dollars here, you're right, Pat, but I'd be willing to go halvesies on the city, but I'm not going to support this at this point. If the city's willing to put something in, then I would consider that. But right now, I'm not interested in being, as I said, the first place that you come for money. Thanks.
I have Mike, and then Kathy, and then me. And Pam.
You left me out.
I'm sorry. Okay, you'll be after Kathy, and then Pam. Go ahead, Mike.
I've always been a fan of cooperative extension and what they can do, and as Frank said, can make things go, and they contract with think for programs that we need, and they do a lot of good. But I'm still having a problem with a lot of these requests for additional funding. Leslin, I heard what you said, and that's given me pause, too, to think about the location here and what this program is about. Pat, I listened to you, and you spoke eloquently, and I could have seconded every word you said in my district. I've been going door to door as recently as yesterday, and people are talking to me about taxes. They're talking to me about still not being able to get jobs back that they've lost or members of their family have lost. And they know that we have not always adhered to the tax cap, and I've been a proponent of saying we ought to have the flexibility of overriding the tax cap. But having said that, I also want to see us try to approach a level that we can support in a way that is not going to be any greater burden than it has to be on the real property taxpayer. When I see I go to a senior citizen's house where they're on fixed incomes, they look at me and they say, please do what you can. Keep the taxes down. We know the costs go up, but please keep them down. And so I'm not going to be able to support this item. I wish I could. I wish I could support all these items along through here, but I'm not going to be able to. And the reason for that is because we have to make hard decisions. We aren't out of this recession yet. Someday we will be, and maybe we'll have a little more flexibility. I can remember better years in the past where we've been able to do things, but I don't think 2014 is that year.
I have Kathy, Carol, Pam, and then me.
Oh, thank you,
Peter.
Jim.
You're after me now. Go ahead, Kat.
Listening to the discussion, and I've just got a few observations I want to make. I share some of the concerns that Leslin spoke about. Well, the way I was thinking about it in my head, and it might not be appropriate, but I'm going to say it anyway. Y'all know me. I started worrying that this might represent the balkanization of West Village, and I was a little reassured by your comments and also by the notion that this is a way of it's not expanding services as much as it's trying to make them more viable. In this time period, we're really having to reinvent what we've been doing that's been working and try and figure out, as Frank said, you know, how to squeeze a dime out of a nickel or whatever it was he said. What's clear to me is, although we do, and I have them in Fall Creek, people think Fall Creek is affluent, but we also have people on fixed income, people with disabilities, folks that their house is their biggest investment and the assessment keeps going up on it, and there's nothing, they can't afford to move out of it, but they can't afford to stay. What occurs to me is that youthful offenders cost us a whole lot more than one of these programs for 10 years does. And, you know, we may look at the numbers and say, oh, we're spending so and so much. But guess what? If we compare ourselves to some of these other counties and cities that they're talking about, there's a reason that we're considered the safest, one of the safest cities in the region, and it's because we have priorities about how we allocate our funding. And spending a nickel now saves us $150 tomorrow. And I think that with these youth services program, I don't think that there's a way that we're throwing money away, especially the particular OTRs that are being moved forward today. And the one that we're talking about right now, I have a great deal of respect for 4-H and for Ken and for the folks involved with this youth services program, and I'm going to support it.
I have Pam and Peter. Go ahead, Pam.
Yes, I would like to point out that this money that is being asked, this request is one-time money, that it would have no impact on our levy. So I don't think that people that it's a different kind of funding because it's one time. The other thing is that I'm sort of curious whether the 4-H club funding in the rural areas, in the other towns and villages, do those municipalities pay for these programs? Because if they don't, then I don't think that we should be asking the city, because the city residents, in case people don't remember, are also county residents, and I think that we need to be as equitable as we possibly can.
Peter Stein.
Let's see, I apologize. I came in late, and so I really know what's going on, but I've been listening to the arguments, and I had a couple of comments I want.
All right. Not too close to the microphone.
Yes, sir.
Dave, you're after Peter.
So I haven't finished, okay. In the past, I have been sort of harsh in my judgments and was more on the side of keeping down the tax rate than providing services. I wasn't 100% that way, but that was the way I generally thought. But in this year, I saw a number that has really changed my perspective a great deal about that. And the number that changed my perspective is the number that we got from Joe, where I learned that per capita, the amount of money that local money that we spend compared to all the other counties in New York except for the city counties, we were, I forget, eighth from the bottom, something like that. And so that's made me feel that that we are at a time when we could be spending more money. Everybody, the expenditures turn into tax one way or another, but ours are certainly not very high compared to the mean in New York State. So that affects me. Another thing, I gather we're talking about the item that Will suggested, which is sort of third from the top.
Yeah, all right.
And I myself am skeptical about one-time monies. They're obviously easy to pay because they come out of reserves, but reserves in the end get made up by tax dollars. They don't. It's not money. And I myself think that people often use one time as a way of getting something, figuring, well, you have one time this year, then it turns into target the next year by itself. And I always would like to hear from someone a good argument as to why this one time is not going to be turned into target. If not convinced, I mean, I might even be prepared to fund it as target if it was turned into it, but I like the items to be sort of reasonable. So,
thank you, Peter. Dave.
Yeah, I have most respect for Ken and his people. I believe that they do a fine job on most everything that they work on. And I'm going to support this program mainly because I think we'll save the money in the long run for Kathy Luce's argument. She kind of stole what I was going to say, but that's okay.
You can return
the favor. And right now, West Hill needs all the help it can get, so I think we should support this and try to get it back on track.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Carol?
Yeah. First,
and then me and then we're voting.
Okay. First, I want to correct Frank Proto's thing that he put out there. I think I'm the only one who's got something on here that actually says gives three different places to take money from to cover what I've proposed. And that's on here first. You don't have to answer it. I just want to point that out.
Well,
that
Carol,
that's
I have
intent.
To. In the local dollar column, you and Nathan have $100,000.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you heard that I correct that. That's a net
zero.
Can we
talk this over
so
during the break?
The, I want to... I agree with Pat that I think part of what we do in these first few motions, and part of the reason that I was not real comfortable with this being one of our first few motions, is that we use these as a way to sort of feel out what's our group will here for doing anything to the budget at all. So it's we're not only talking about, as we put out our philosophies here, about this particular, only this item. Dave has convinced me. I think that we're at a place of I can't read my own notes here. This is a pretty needy part of our community. So I disagree with Pat. I agree with you that we use these first few items to work out where we stand. I think that it is appropriate for the county to be a place of last resort that addresses the neediest places in the community. And I think that this is a particular pressure point in our community that affects public safety for us all. And that's what we've been hearing with these concerns from the neighborhood, and it's really has affected a lot else that we do. So Dave has convinced me. I'd like to support it. I am still concerned that this early in our process that we don't have a majority vote to do it. So I won't move to table it, but I think you should consider that.
Well,
and then I have a question for our staff that has given us a document that weighs in on or gives us information about three other counties, but it's not clear to me how you put this in context. What's the total amount spent on youth services in those three other counties? how much they're all much larger cities. We're talking Erie County with Buffalo in it, Monroe with Rochester, Onondaga with Syracuse. So how much do their larger cities manage to pay for youth services? How much do their largest employers pay? What percentage of the total youth services budget are the counties supporting? I just don't think we have the context for this information.
Joe, before you go, Carol, the document says appropriations, revenues, county share. Erie pays $323,000, county share. Monroe pays $379,000, county share. Onondaga pays $233,000, county share. We pay $866,000, county share.
But it's not clear what of their total budget, including what private employers pay, what their total programs are.
But I'm only concerned
with taxpayer
money. Joe, go ahead.
You don't have to go on a great length.
It's just drawn from the budgets of those three counties. So we looked at the Youth Bureau budget in each of those three counties. And again, what you have is what you get in the budgets, and we've got the details if you care to look through it. It does provide a bit of context for us. It certainly doesn't prescribe anything, but it does provide some context. We often express concern about our commitment to youth in the community, and if anything, I think this does show that we do have a very strong commitment to the youth of the community. And when you look at the three largest upstate counties, we spend almost as much in this county as those three counties combined. So again, it doesn't give you an answer in terms of how much you should fund or who you should fund, but maybe it provides a bit of context in terms of our commitment to youth programs in Tompkins County.
What I wanted to say, and then Dooley, you can finish up, and then after that I would like to vote on this because some of us have two or three bites on this. What I am not going to support this, and basically it's from the reason for request. It's an expansion of a current program. I do not believe that we should ask the City of Ithaca for money. The thing that concerns me most of all about the comments that people have made around the table is that if I were listening to this and was going to buy a house, I would not buy a house on West Hill. And it's pretty frightening when a meeting here could say fear, and that's the lead thing coming out of this room. And it's totally wrong. There are sections of every part of every county or every town and village and city that needs to get looked at and have to be dealt with. And that's why we do what we do. But to characterize West Hill as a fearful place is really not a very good thing, especially coming out of this legislature. And I'm not going to support this piece. Go ahead, Dooley.
Trying to look at this from a distance, I don't know of the three largest counties that appeared on our desk, the information. How many municipalities in those counties are fiscally stressed? I don't know a lot of things about those counties. I do know about our county that we're not considered fiscally stressed, even though we all know we have residents who are in troubled times. The idea that we aren't fiscally stressed is in part because we take a long-range view, and we do put money into programs that cost something now but save us costs in the future. And that, to me, is what this is an example of, whether it's one time or target. I will certainly support this. In fact, I would not object at all if Cooperative Extension had to come back to us next year and say we didn't quite get all the funds coming in we need in fees. I would be happy to support this because I think it really is something that makes us better off in the long term.
I'd like to call the question.
Well, thank you before I did. Is there a second to calling the question? Will, all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed to calling the question? Anyone? One. The question has been called. We are voting on adding $20,000, which was Will's amendment to program expense of the 4-H Urban Outreach Program. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It passes 10 to 5. And the levy goes to what, Kevin?
It doesn't change. It was one time.
Levy doesn't change. It was one time.
What? Oh, it's one time. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It's not that's free. Okay. Nate and Carol, it is contingent fund, earmark $100K of contingent fund for living wage. And Nathan will move it. Is there a second? Carol's a second. And who wants to talk about it? We'll start with you, Nate.
Yes, I sent an email to all of the legislators today describing this earmark of $100,000 for of the contingent fund for the living wage and to address the living wage issue. This $100,000 is not an increase to the contingency fund. It's merely an allocation, an earmark of $100,000 out of a total of, what, $815,000 or something?
Yeah, about
it's $900,000.
Oh, about $900,000. Okay. But an earmark of those existing funds. So the impact on the budget is basically nothing right now. Now, what this does do, though, is this shows that we have a commitment to looking at this issue in more depth. And it also shows that we have a commitment to the work that or the findings that came out of our living wage work group. And so that living wage work group said that, you know, that as contracts come up for negotiation, that efforts will be made to negotiate into those new contracts a living wage for employees. And so, Joe, this $100,000 will be used for Joe to help do that. Now, when Joe actually has a contract that is negotiated that does include an increase for workers along the living wage, because this is a contingent fund request, it would still have to go to the legislature. And so that means there is an added layer of accountability, and we will have a second say on any of this funding that's actually used. And so I think that this is a good start for all the discussions that we've had related to the living wage, and I hope that I can get support for it today.
Point of information?
Yes.
On the sheet, it says $100,000, but it says $20,000 of it.
That's the next one, Pam, that I hope would not happen.
Oh, sorry. I went too far down.
No problem.
We're looking at Nate, and I have Martha and Brian. Carol, do you have a hand up?
Not yet.
Okay,
I will.
Then I have Mike and Peter and Leslie. All right. Go ahead, Martha.
I'm looking at do we have a page in here that shows the contingent fund, like what we spent on it this year and where it is right now? And I know we often spend it down by the end of the year. And
we do. Yeah. And we've spent it down every year for the last 5 years.
What page is it, Kevin?
Do we have a page on it in the book?
Well, so you do section 4, page 37. It shows zeros in actual. It's because the money is moved out of the contingency fund during the year and moved into the department that's using it.
Okay.
It's a reallocation of the budget. Essentially, that's what the account acts as.
Okay. Now, Nate, your motion is, to be clear, only for new contracts starting in 2014 that renegotiation of any existing contracts.
That's correct, Martha. The renegotiation is of existing contracts is a separate issue. This $100,000 would be just allocated for along the lines of what the proposal that came out of the working group is, which is to deal with wages that increase out of the with new contracts. Also, by the way, this $100,000 is a purposeful number because it's because right now the contingent fund has, I think, $115,000 more than it usually does. So even if we have spent down contingent fund monies in the past, you know, this is a greater allocation than what's been in there in the past.
Okay, and if I can ask a county administrator, could you explain, if we approve this, can you explain how exactly that you'd go about making decisions on how to use it?
Yeah, I think Nathan expressed it pretty concisely. The trying to put this into a Reader's Digest, this very long exercise that we went through, the procedures that will go into effect in 2014, And this is short of a formal adoption of policy by the legislature, which will be held until sometime next year after we get some experience under our belt. We'll look at the contracts that come through. We'll get an understanding of who's paying living wage, who's not. Those who are not will go through another filter. And we will be asking questions about, you know, what are the barriers that prevent payment of the living wage? We're going to ask how far away from the contract goal would it be if they went to living wage? So we will look at a number of things. We will look at the character of the contract. So in the recommendations that came out of the work group, there are certain exclusions of contracts that would be considered. So as the contracts go through this funnel, some will come out the bottom of that funnel, and it will be basically the burden will shift to the county to decide, should it pay a living wage on these? There really aren't, under these procedures, compelling reasons why we should not apply our policy to these contracts. So some will come out the other end of that funnel. The burden will shift to us to decide whether we have the means to pay additional dollars to bring these contracts to the living wage. So those will be the ones that will be candidates for this contingency funding. As Nathan has said, once it comes to me and I look at it, and I think that it is really incumbent on us to provide funding for it, I would have to come to the legislature, because the contingency is not just an account that we can charge. It's something that we have to come to the legislature to ask you to spend. So there would be full accountabilities from us to the legislature in terms of how this money is being used and for what contracts. In fact, we will also be reporting to the legislature on contracts where the living wage is not going to be paid, but we don't have the capacity to bring them to a living wage threshold.
And okay. Some examples of that might be ones where their payments are fixed due to Medicare or Medicaid.
Right. There's a whole string of things that would be considered. That's exactly right. There are some contracts where basically the contractor is told, here are the wage levels you can pay to be eligible for reimbursement from our funding. Yeah.
Okay. And thanks, Joe. And on the page we're working on, it doesn't say one-time or target. And there's nothing filled in that box. There's nothing filled in on effect on the levy.
Well, it's already part of the.
Yeah, already part of the budget.
It's in the budget. Yeah, and it's okay. Target funding in the budget.
So does this mean next year's budget? It'll be built in. It'll be part of the ongoing maintenance of effort next year.
That's correct.
We wouldn't have to add to the levy next year because it would be part of it.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks.
I have Brian, Mike, Peter, Leslie.
Pass.
You're up.
Pass.
Oh, you pass. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like Eli Manning. Mike.
I think the county administrator made a valid point when he said that he felt in his proposed budget that we needed to add money to our contingency fund, because we've been using a lot of it over the years. And I fully support that idea of raising that, and would not for a minute suggest that we not have this $100,000 in there. But on the other hand, I'm not in favor of earmarking this for a particular purpose. It might very well be used for that purpose, or some of it, or more of it. But I think we should have the flexibility, as we always do with our contingency account, to be able to use that money as the needs arise for particular things that come to us. I think the Living Wage Group did a wonderful job talking about this. I still have some reservations about things, but because we accepted the report, and are giving our county administrators some time to see how this might work out with our contracts and what the effect may be, I support that. I think he should have that opportunity to come back with us to us and report on what's happening with those contracts. I have some trepidation about the Alternatives Federal Credit Union level of living wage. Certainly would be nice for people to have that. But if you add the COLAs on top of that, over a few years, it will eat us alive in some of the contracts that we have. We have to be very, very careful about what we're going to do. And having said that, coming to the taxpayer, the real property taxpayer, to obtain a higher wage in a contract that the county has is not the only avenue that workers have when they are looking at how their compensation should be bettered. Traditionally, they have the right to organize. And that has the effect of going to the employer and saying, my work is more valuable to you than what you're paying. And under the laws of the National Labor Relations Board, you must negotiate with us so that we can come to a contract. Coming to the county and saying, just put taxpayer money, take it from the people who pay taxes, and put it into a fund and hand it over to the contractor, relieves the contractor of any responsibility of making this payment. They just pass, it just becomes a pass-through. Fact is, it may help other employees that are already receiving a living wage get a better living wage. So I don't think we should earmark it. I don't think we should stop doing what we're planning to do and taking a look at these things. But I also think the employees and some of these contractors ought to take a look at their other option.
Thank you, Mike. I have Peter, and then Leslie.
I'm going to support this. I was on the work group that developed this living wage report, and I'm very frightened at the maximum number that's on that report, and I don't think we can possibly fulfill that, at least in my lifetime. On the other hand, I think we have made such fuss about it or talked about it so much, we must do something. And I think this is a good something to do. Now, with regard to, you know, there's a lot of ways I'd like to see this living wage done. I'd like to see the federal government pass a living wage law and impose it on the whole community. I think that's the right thing to do, but it ain't going to happen. I think it's a mistake to think that organization is going to happen, Mike. The labor union movement is dying fast in this country, and it's hard for me to believe that this group of people is going to be able to successfully organize. And if they did organize and we were to buy their product, I mean, we'd be have to paying for it anyway. The living wage will increase the price that a company has to charge. Believe me, they won't take it out of their profit margin. So in that sense, I don't see that there's anything we can do. I think we can't stall and say, well, we're not going to do anything. We want to study it some more. We've studied it a lot. We can't do the whole thing. And so I think this is a good place to start.
I have Leslie, Carol Frank, Kathy, and then Will.
Thank you. Most of you know that I've been completely out of the loop for the last 3 weeks, legitimately so. I wasn't vacationing in the Bahamas by any means, although in some respect I wish I were. And so I do want to just publicly say thank you to Nathan and Carol for moving this forward. I have a question, and this probably is for Joe. This $100,000, which, by the way, I would have been asking for $300,000. Joe, if I understand this correctly, moving forward, you will be coming, as you see areas where we can start implementing this, you will be coming back to the legislature. And is this going to take us to a place where we're sort of phasing in the living wage, or there may be places where it's just a one-shot and it makes it happen immediately, or are we looking at a plan over 2 years or 3 years or something? What are we doing?
It could be a little of both, and I can't give you a firm answer. We really have to see what these contracts look like. Mm-hmm. As you read the report, I think you see that there's reference to multiple-year approaches. In fact, one of the things that, the department heads have been told to look at when they look at contract proposals is if the contractor isn't paying the living wage this year, is there a multi-year plan, a real strategy, that will go from where they are now to a living wage over a reasonable period of time? That'll be a consideration that's given to contracts as they come in. So I suspect, given the fact that some of these contracts currently pay some people, it could be a $9 rate. And to get from $9 to $12.62 or higher, it may take a multi-year approach. And I'm speaking for me.
Yeah, I understand.
And reflecting the work group, I think a multi-year approach is very likely.
Very likely, but it could be a combination of things that happen instantaneously.
I think so. Imagine a contract that's within a few dollars of being able to meet a living wage standard. That we probably want to push forward. Right.
Thank you.
I have Carol, Frank, Kathy, Will, Pam, Julie. Raka, everyone.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I thank you to Kevin for grouping these. I put in this first one separately. I mean, I handed it into Kevin separately than Nathan's. My intent was just a bit different now that I hear the full details of Nathan's. I believe the contracts, first let me say, I do believe we need to do something on living wage to indicate our willingness to get started on this problem in this year's budget. If we have a work group, it's not fully, you know, delivered exactly how to approach all this, but we need to indicate our willingness to start. $100,000 isn't enough, but it would be a start. I do believe the contracts often get renegotiated, amended, clauses are negotiated and renegotiated over time, even in ongoing contracts. So the place that I differed from Nathan was it's not my intent to exclude a particular kind of contract. It was to be more all-inclusive, that we put $100,000 towards starting to dig our way out of the living wage issue, leaving it totally open as to which contracts, new versus existing, or it wouldn't be existing because it's the way in which one normally goes about business of changing contracts over time. So it's just without limiting. So I'll come back to that one because I might want to make a little amendment there. Given the preferences of our illustrious chair, I won't move to substitute right now what's the next on the page. I'm also finding it confusing because what we have in front of us on our sheets that I have labeled as number, it would be number 6 on the page we have in front of us, but a line get added to what people are looking at on the screen. So as we talk about the order, people should realize that the sheets we have in front of us don't have that top line. But the one where my other motion about how to approach this problem would be, what I've done is present 3 possible ways, places we could find funding in our budget. I put in the contingent fund first because I think that's probably the place that makes most sense, but I wanted to signal my willingness to look at other places or to have this body look at other places should their preferences be elsewhere.
May I interrupt? And I apologize for interrupting, Carol, but let's deal with the item that we have in front of us, which is the contingency. If that fails, then you're up next, then you can do whatever you can get support for.
That's fine.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Okay. But on the other point, I would like to see us not limit quite as narrowly as what Nathan is suggesting and just take out the wording that says it has to be of a certain kind of contract let's make it more broad.
Carol, all this is an earmark of $100,000 of the contingency fund for living wage. Now, the thing is that based off the work that came out of the, based off the findings from the working group, I'm just repeating what has been said by the working group.
Right.
All right. So what the working group did is separate. All I'm saying that this is a $100,000 allocation to help achieve what the working group has set out to do.
So the motion does not limit and
motion,
say there's any kind of contract
merely just
that
a earmarked of $100,000.
That can't be. It doesn't say there's any kind of contract that can't be included.
No. Because I don't think I can even do that in the through the budget process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'm okay with that. I also just want to question. I'm really, really tired. I've been working on this really hard all week.
Tired.
And I just want to say, there are nights that I'm more articulate. There was a quote once somebody gave me, public speaking is like learning to play the violin in public. So if I'm tripping over some words, forgive me. It's the concept that I hope you'll take. Thank you.
Let me trip on to Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
And I'll try not to play the violin, Carol. I think we've heard some pretty articulate individuals come before us the last several months, actually, and speak in favor of doing something. And it's sad when a government has to come up with the money if a responsible employer would pay something, and I don't know if the number the Alternatives Credit Union came up with is adequate or inadequate. It's certainly a number. Some of us might want to add more things in or take some things out. But nonetheless, that's what's on the table. I don't have any problem with us looking at this. My concern is this is the first night of our budget voting sessions. Is there any way we may have, and I suspect we are going to have more proposals before the next two meetings are over. Is there any way that we could postpone the discussion on this with regard to the contingent fund and bring it back at one of our next two meetings? Nathan, I think you're trying to do the right thing here. And there's nothing, whether it's in the contingent fund or not, I have a feeling that this board is not going to ignore discussing this. We haven't even had a chance as a board to individually, some of you have seen the report that came out of the group that studied it. But I think some of us would like to spend some more time meeting with other colleagues and talking about it. It may be that we ought to do something. And I think you're right. We ought to look at what the options are. The contingent fund, to earmark money now in the contingent fund, I think forecloses anything else that may come to us in certainly the next two voting meetings and maybe even the night that we review the actual budget, because it's not too late. Joe or Kevin walked us through what to do that night also. So I hate to say this, but I'm probably going to vote no on doing what you're proposing here. It doesn't mean that I'm opposed to considering it. I just think it's pretty early in the process. And anyway, I've said my piece. Thank you.
Someone had their hand up over there. Who was it? I have all of you, but then Martha, you were the newbie. Okay. I have now Kathy, Will, Pam, Dooley, Brian, and then Martha.
Excuse me.
And Leslie.
Excuse me. Thank you, Jim.
Pat had her hand up, too, for a long time.
And I have Pat. And let me go like this, and I'll just choose whoever I want. Right? Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. I want to start off talking about what Frank just said. None of us is going to hesitate to talk about this. We've been talking about it a long time. The fact is, many of us feel that there's time to find ways to do something about that, and I deliberately use the plural. I can talk about this a long time, but I'm not. What I'll say is I appreciate what Nathan's come up with. I'll support it. I don't think it goes far enough.
I think we need to do lots of other things. There's many reasons for that. I can talk about those as we go along. I can talk about the reasons for this. But to spare everybody, I'll just say this. I got an email from actually a kind of a minority report from one of my constituents saying, you can't legislate wages. And I thought, well, don't we have a federal minimum wage? Don't we have a state minimum wage? Actually, you can legislate wages the same way that we try to encourage things that we think are good. I want to point out that, changing for a second to something else, I was on the working group, and I issued kind of my own minority report and published an editorial that the Ithaca Journal was kind enough to publish, and I have a little bit of a different perspective on this. With all due respect to Peter and with a hat tip to Mike, I believe in collective bargaining, and I understand that unionism has waned. However, I believe that the future of unionism, of collective bargaining, is with low-wage workers, and there's a reason for that. The reason is because the gap between people who make many, many millions of dollars a year and those of us who barely make, over $10,000 or $20,000 a year has widened and has continued to widen. Many of us that 20 years ago, you know, were working in the workforce as mature workers now find ourselves making barely that amount, if not a whole lot less, than we were 20 years ago. If you adjust for inflation, we've lost money, and that's not to mention the amounts we've lost in our pension. I often talk about how our system is broken, and one of the things we do in Ithaca is try to explore ways to adjust that. If we want to keep people in our community, we try and invest in youth. If we want to keep the creative class here and talent here, we try to figure out how to keep those folks here. We also need to keep our elders and also working people, what is called the workforce, by keeping workforce housing and also by finding ways to supplement and support higher wages. I think it is probably careless of us to try to assume that we would make up the difference between what contractors would pay in every case. It's impossible. And frankly, I think it's misguided because the profit motive has driven us to a place where we just assume that the average citizen is going to have to make up that difference in taxes. No. How about the folks that are making the profit understand that in order to get the contract, they're going to have to take less of a profit than they would have? And people think that's an outrageous idea. I don't think it is. I think that we need to approach this from a better angle because the corporate welfare has gotten out of control. Okay, I could go on about this, but I won't. A lot of y'all have heard this. Just three things I want to say last. Healthcare workers, child care workers, mental health workers. We have a long way to go. This is one strategy of many, and I get nervous because it can so easily be shot at, delayed, postponed, and I think we need to come up with a lot of other ways to approach this, and I'm committed to it, and I know that most of us around the table are committed to it. It is a complex problem, but we can address it here. We're smart. Thanks.
Will, then Pam, then Dooley, then Brian. And I don't know, whoever.
I want to thank Kathy for saying a lot of what I was saying, what I was about to say, and also reminding us that we are smart, though I must admit at this waning hour I'm beginning to question my own abilities. I have to take issue, Peter, with the comment that the unions are dying. I think they're under assault, but I actually agree with Mike that there's an enormous potential for unionization. But having been part of a group that worked to create a union, and I spent about 3 years of my life doing that, I know how I know the obstacles, I know how incredibly hard that is. And so that's one route. It's, I think, we are from a different position here at the county legislature. We are an employer. We contract with people, and I think we should be supportive and receptive to unionization attempts, but I think we also have a moral and ethical responsibility to ensure that we are not funding needed community services on the backs of people that are learning less than it actually takes to live. I want to thank Nathan and Carol for putting this forward. It's not nearly enough. You know, we heard from Joe, I guess, estimates. So if we really just went all across the board immediately, what was over a million and...
We think $1 to $2 million.
$1 to $2 million. That's utterly beyond our reach, but it should not deter us from trying to move in that direction. And by designating and essentially... I heard the expression, putting a rope around this money, we will realize as we are presented with opportunities to do something in the right direction, we will have already made that decision to create the resource on which to draw. So I will support this.
Pam.
Well, I will keep mine short because Will and Kathy basically said what I wanted to say. But I just wanted to add that there was a period of time in the 1980s, 1990s, where privatization was where we went because it was a way for governments to save money. And what we realized as that went along was that it was a way for them to save money because, in fact, the subcontractors were paying their employees less than they would have otherwise been paid as public employees. And this has become worse as time has gone on because public employees have actually been able to maintain their standard of living more than people who are subcontracting or on the private sector. And so things like retirement systems are now a luxury, whereas in fact it wasn't that long ago that that retirement plans were very much a part of the private sector also. So I think that Tompkins County has been a county that they making sure that people have enough money to live and feed their families has been a priority. And I know that we do not want to be in a position of being considered the part of that mentality that thinks that that by subcontracting the work out and these people making minimum wage, that we are saving the taxpayers' money, because I do not believe for a second that we are saving the taxpayers' money because of the increased cost in social services, in crime, in the instability that results as from a family not having enough money to live. I think that it is good. It makes good economic sense for us to move in this direction, and I certainly will support it.
Dooley.
I, too, would like to thank Nate and Carol for putting this on. From my perspective, it's a very good idea. I don't think it's too early to put a rope around that much money in our contingent fund. We can always come back and untie it if that seems necessary, but looking at what's happened tonight already with the tax levy and thinking about what we had thought would be necessary in April, which was 4%, some of us thought it might have to be higher, I'm amazed that it's down as low as it is. And I would just like to let Joe know that from my perspective, if the contracts that we renew or renegotiate or are new, coming in for 2014, require more than $100,000 to make sense to step forward with livable wage, you should feel free to go beyond the $100,000.
Brian, and then Pat, and Nate. Oh, Martha, I'm so sorry. Martha. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Jim. Dooley, I'm glad you mentioned contract just now, because even though I'm not doing a whole lot of campaigning through agreement, I still talk to a lot of people. And almost to a person, when this subject comes up, that's the first thing they mention to me. And I've had it put to me, contracts in context, three different contexts. One being, and first off, let me just say, going forward, I think we as a county should negotiate contracts that are at this level, at livable wage level. Having said that, first, it was mentioned contracts. How can you, and this was other people talking to me, how can you, in essence, supplement a contract, a pre-existing contract, for someone to get to that level? Dooley, I sat there and listened to you, and I wasn't shaking my head and everything. I might appreciate it if you do the same.
About the comment you're receiving that surprised me.
Okay. Well, trust me, I have. That's one context of contract. The other is, and they've turned it around right to me directly, saying, in essence, we have a contract with you, meaning us on the legislature, that you've gone out and through your staff have negotiated these contracts, and they feel as though somehow, you're breaking that part of the contract by now wanting to change them. And the third one is folks saying, now, wait a minute, you have pre-existing contracts, and you have people that agreed to be hired at a certain wage, and now they want to change. And they pointed out that, because I told them it was $13, something like that, that they were at, and they said, geez, we have, I know 10 people myself that make well below that already. They don't work for county government. They're not a subcontractor for county government. Yet you're expecting them to pay higher taxes. And I understand it's in a contingent fund, but going forward, it's not. It's going to be part of target, and probably will increase above that. Now, I've said all that, but I've also said that conceptually, moving forward, I certainly agree with the living wage concept. But, I feel almost compelled to pass on the information that I hear as concerns given the present day. That's all.
Pat, followed by Nate, Martha, Leslie.
I just want to speak in support of the points that Mike made. I agree with Mike. I also share the concern that Frank mentioned, partly because if we do this, I'm concerned about what it does to the flexibility of our contingent fund. As I look at the figures for the contingent fund on page section 4, page 37, it looks to me as if the 115,000 that's been added is for the purpose of recommended OTRs, if I'm correct. So that's not additional money that's been just put in to the contingent fund for whatever we might want to spend it for. We still have the flexibility to make that decision. I understand that. But it has been thought of in terms of funding those OTRs. So basically, the contingent fund, aside from that $115,000, looks to me to be flat with what it had been the year before. And it's already been stated here that we pretty much went through that contingent fund this year. So if we were to go ahead and do this now at this point in our deliberations, we would be basically setting aside a part of what we needed for other things last year. and saying this is a set aside for this one particular purpose. And that concerns me as to what we're going to do when we need the money for other things. So I'm not prepared at this point to set aside a part of the contingent fund for a particular purpose. I think we need to have the flexibility to use it. It doesn't mean we couldn't use it for this purpose, just that I don't see any reason to set it aside for it.
Nate.
Before I start my comments, Joe, can you actually respond to that $115,000 and how it's, quote, allocated?
I can, and again, this isn't contrary to the principle that you're speaking about here, which is having that money available for general purposes. It is unencumbered, unspecified money right now. It's in there because when we looked at the budget, we thought it might be a good idea to have a little bit extra in that account. So it's not currently tied to anything. It's not funding another OTR in the budget. It is simply an increase in the contingency account that is unspecified.
So I just wanted to address one concern that I've heard a little bit here, and then also from constituents, is that the idea that the costs will purely just get passed on to the taxpayer or to the county, right? That say if we say move everybody from let's say $9 an hour to $13.50 or $12.50 if they have health insurance, right? That we'll just pay for all of it, and I want to say that may be the case for some contracts when you're just renewing a contract. But when you have contracts that come up, and most of our contracts are going to be like this, when the term is over, and that's why you have terms on your contracts, there is the opportunity to bid that contract out. And when you bid that contract out, traditionally what happens is that contractors, they'll find the ways to bring in the lowest bid possible so that you'll choose their bid. Now, because there isn't a floor floor on the living wage, oftentimes what happens is that they find those savings by reducing the pay of the workers. But if we put a floor on those savings by having a living wage here, then that's an area that they can't touch. And so because it's still a competitive process, though, right, they still have the incentive to bring in the lowest amount. So that's where, to Kathy's point before, right, it's not necessarily that cost will get...
But you say it so well.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Is that it's in their financial incentive to get the contract and therefore to bring in a more competitive bid. So I just wanted to bring forward that point.
Thanks.
Good job, Nate. Martha?
My comment is just about whether to vote on this now or...
Well,
later, and I think that's a bad... I think now is when... We should make this decision. We have lots of opportunity to revisit it if there's if new information comes up or if people have a change of heart. We can't do this on every decision.
I understand that. Thank you very much for that. Ludzlin, I agree.
Oh, that Nathan Shinagawa. He speaks before you and takes everything you want to say and says it so eloquently that you have nothing else to say. But I do want to toot the horn of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee for a minute. In 2011, and because Frank said something about priming the pug, I'm not sure what that means, but I write these little phraseologies down. The Titan in me and in that committee came up with some wording that says to the county administrator, here's some words we want added to requests for proposals go out. And essentially we said there are two things. One, we want our proposals to say that whoever's going to bid on these must, we're committed as a county to paying a living wage. It's important for people out there to understand that a county government is a living wage employer, because I still hear from people who think, why is the county not paying people a living wage? The county does. We need to understand the difference with the folks with whom we contract, and not everyone with whom we contract. So we wanted language in there, and we were going to ramrod that language into our contracts that say you will pay a living wage if you want to bid on our contracts, and two, you will demonstrate a commitment to diversity and inclusion. Because the county administrator is such a smart person,
he came back and said, you know, listen, we just can't do it like that. There's a lot more that needs to be considered in going to this. And we have this committee that went ahead and studied this. The bottom line is what I'm expecting coming out of this is as we go forward, that we will have a policy decision that would say when we put out a request for proposal or a request for whatever the things are called, that our language in there, this county will have a language of commitment to people being paid a living wage. And if you want to bid on our contracts, that we should hear from you that this is what you will be doing. So it's more a policy than it is right now about, you know, whether we are going to put, you know, $800,000 into the budget. Because we're an existing, you know, we have existing contracts, and because we have employees who've been coming before us for contract employees, we do need to do something. You know, Kathy was right when we talked with the child care workers and a number of the human services agencies that come through the Human Services Coalition, and making sure that those folks provide those essential services so that people like me can go to work. And so many other people in this community who can ill afford to even child care get paid a decent wage. That's important. So this is a Band-Aid to fix a little bit right now until we get to the place where we have a policy in place. And I'm hoping that we don't lose sight of the fact that that's where we need to be. That's my comment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Dave, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I agree with Joe about increasing the contingent fund due to increased costs of just about everything. I mean, we don't know where we're going to be or how much we're going to need, but to have that extra $100,000 in there makes exactly good sense. Okay. Second of all, I totally disagree with paying money out to people for contracts that already exist, okay? That's nothing more than welfare under a different name. I'm sorry, that's the way I feel, okay? I agree with Brian. It's also wrong to ask people that are making less than that to pay taxes to support that wage if we were to pay it, okay? And the last thing that I'd like to say is that just because the levy came down doesn't mean we need to spend it back up again.
Oh, Dave.
Thank you. Let me make one or two comments. The working group that was put together for the living wage discussion, I do not believe that we had a goal to suggest a policy to you. It is the legislature's job, not a lay committee that was put together to do that. And I think that's what we will eventually end up with. The second comment, this would be the absolute worst time to be talking about living wage and trying to come up with a conclusive issue point that we would move forward in 2014. I think the best approach right now is deal with the $100,000 and give us an opportunity as we move forward to come up with something. I agree that we should be more stern with our contracts, but also keeping in mind if you put something like that in a contract, it chases people away and drives the cost of your contract up even higher, that sometimes it will have a negative effect on your tax levy. So also keep that all in mind. It happened in the city of Ithaca.
Jim, I'm going to disagree with you. We have to get rid of that fear factor that every time we do something, we're going to chase people away. Because there's several things I can point to over the years that we've said, oh, if we do this, we're going to chase people away, but they still come back because there's business to be done in Tompkins County.
I will talk with you outside the room about that. But I just put that out there for that reason. And frankly, I would like to vote on this if we could do that at this point.
I notice now it's changed the target in contingent fund.
It's already in the contingent fund. It's part of the target. Kevin? Right?
I just, forgot to put that in there.
Okay. But
explain the change from 100,000 to zero in that.
Again, it was just a confusion. I can leave it at 100,000. You're not actually changing the dollar amount. You're just earmarking it.
I think zero is more appropriate. I think this is a revenue neutral.
Right. And so I fixed that when the discussion started happening. Yeah. I just
did. Good. I'm not sure other people are clear on that. So Dave's point that we're spending back up the levy, this isn't doing that. We're earmarking a place to take it from that was already in our budget. So we were going to increase the contingent fund, and instead we're increasing the contingent fund but making it an earmarked contingent.
Exactly.
But you're not increasing it. I'm sorry.
We're not increasing the contingent fund, Carol.
We're not increasing the tax levy by this budget.
No, it's already in the budget.
That's my point.
Okay. Are we ready? All in favor of the Shinagawa Chalk resolution that earmarks 100K of contingent fund for living worry, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you very much. Let me just make a short announcement. This meeting is going to end at 8:30. And if we are in the middle of a sentence, the meeting is over.
We'll be back here
tomorrow night at 5:30. Shinagawa Chalk. Chalk.
I can withdraw that.
Thank you. Shinagawa Chalk Youth Services Restore Big BBBS to 20,893 to target. Who wants to talk for it? I'll move it. Is there a second?
Oh, I was going to move it, but...
Well, all right. You move it. Is there a second? Carol moves.
Second.
The whole group seconds. Okay. go ahead. Who's first? Carol? Pam?
Go right ahead, Pam.
Pam, go ahead.
Well, there are actually two proposals here. One of them is for Target and one of them is for one time. And so I just want to be clear that you are putting this in as a target.
That is correct.
Yeah. That is our next step.
Okay. I guess I've become confused about this issue because my original understanding was that the youth services had put this as a low priority or a something that was that they really had not felt should be funded, but I've heard conflicting information on that, and so I don't know if Amy's still here or not, but I would like to understand better why we are in the situation we are in. I know that there was a committee that was set up to look at funding for all the programs, and that they had put this as a low priority. And yet the chair of that committee came and spoke to us the other night. And so please, could you help with this a little bit?
Sure. Go ahead, Amy.
All right. So our committee looked at funding applications from 12 agencies. We could not fund all 12 agencies, so they had to prioritize how that funding would be split. When they did that, they put together our over-target recommendations. And we had to prioritize them as part of this process. When they were prioritized, the Big Brothers Big Sisters program was a lower ranking priority than others. That doesn't mean that wasn't something that the Resource Allocation Committee didn't support. There were other agencies that didn't receive any funding. We had three agencies that didn't receive funds as part of this process. We had agencies that received reduced funding amount as part of the process. For Big Brothers Big Sisters, it goes back to what the proposal was put forward. We looked at that proposal, and with our funding, how much funding we had, we could only put in a certain amount. So there are target dollars behind this proposal for Big Brothers Big Sisters already, and then this over target would bring them up to 57,400, I believe, which would be actually above their 2013 level. So it would increase their funding amount. Because it was an open year, we allowed agencies to ask for what they needed to create the services. And that's where we received some requests, like you've already discussed with the 4-H Urban Outreach, that went beyond what they were currently doing.
How much more over?
7,400.
And may I have a follow-up on that, Jim?
Yeah, sure.
I'm assuming that there were reasons why it was put down as a lower priority. And it would be helpful if you could shed some light on that. And in particular, I know that there was some concern about the number of youth that were actually served by that versus other programs.
Mm-hmm. So there were many factors when they prioritized over targets. Some of those things were, when I did my budget presentation, I talked about the buckets of funding. And so we really look at different areas of funding and what those were needed, and we have to prioritize all of those areas. So for our first request, we looked at rollover dollars, one-time funds, to sustain some departmental offerings, and that's a lower over target on here. Our second priority was really that one-time expansion of 4-H Urban Outreach, because when we were looking at kind of the net, if you want to look at it in those terms, we're looking at how we were serving county youth with programs that went towards the needs assessment. Where were the needs in the community? What were our highest priorities? And then how did we divide that? So that was another factor that ranked that a little bit lower than some of the other programs, one being the 4-H Urban Outreach. It seemed that that program ranked higher when we looked at those factors. We also looked at the proposals, how they complied with the proposal's direction. If they were past-funded agencies, were they agencies in good standing? Were they using the funds appropriately? All of these things, it doesn't say anything about the program quality. All of the programs that we funded, we believe in the quality and what the programs do and how they support young people. One of the concerns is just the number of youth and ensuring that we are having that net of youth services. So I think that may answer your question, or is there...
Well, how many youth does the program serve?
The estimate for next year, according to their proposal...
We would be funding.
Yes. So it was 130 youth to 170 youth. They have two components. So through the two components, it would be 170 youth... if the full proposal were reached, so if they received $57,400.
But how many did they do last year or this year?
174, I believe. And I'm looking to Joe Gibson is here, so if there's other programmatic questions, he and Liz Vance from the Ithaca Youth Center.
I have Carol, Brian, who else has their hand up?
I thought it was second.
What?
After Pam, I thought I was after her.
Were you next?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Nate.
Raise my hand again.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed you. Go ahead, Nate.
All right. Yep. A lot of the things that were said about youth programs in the previous discussion about the 4-H thing could apply here, so I'm not going to repeat those. But I'm going to say that what I was particularly impressed by with the public comments that we had the other day is that oftentimes, you know, we hear from the staff of these programs, but to hear from the actual clients of these programs is very, very powerful. And I think that that folks really demonstrated that the other night. And not in addition to those public comments, also all of the petitions that we've received as well and emails. And so I think there's a very loud and clear voice on how important this program is to folks in the community. I also wanted to just add a point of not necessarily clarification, but further explanation. When we looked at those per capita spending on youth programs, it's very important to note that those are the counties where there are big cities that are inside of those in those counties. So you have to look at what those cities are also spending in their youth programs. And I just pulled up the city of Rochester. And the city of Rochester, for their Office of the Commissioner of Youth Services, you'll love this, they spent $476,000. That would be like your office, mm-hmm. Amy.
Yeah.
And then Recreation, $8.046 million. Mm-hmm. In the Youth Services, $1.265 million. And in Employment Opportunities, $1.328 million. So the total that Rochester spends is $11.115 million. The year before, it was $10.58 million. And that's, so the $11.115, that's their 2013 to 2014 budget. Okay. So they are. There is a substantial investment in youth, but it's happening from those cities as well. I just wanted to add that point.
Thank you, Nate. Now, Carol, Brian, did I miss anybody over here? Yes. Oh, Frank, of course.
First,
Carol, Brian, Frank.
First, I'd like to. Oh wait, did you say me or?
You're on.
First, okay, thank you. First, I'd like to see what's the effect on the levy, the taking this action. What does it change? No, that your red amount there.
There.
20,000 now takes us to 2.91, still well below our target. I want to answer Pam's question. I want to speak to the concept of how we approach funding for these kinds of things. I even got a pithy quote on this one. Okay, we found ways. I believe that's a false choice that we're setting up. We found ways in one fell swoop to increase target funding for some of our programs. At large amounts, yet youth services and some of our other services are forced to come and compete with each other for these tiny amounts every year. We can do both. You know, we don't question that some of our programs. We decide we want to build it into the capital program so that we're sure we can do it each year. We want to build it in somewhere else so that we're sure that our increases that we've been able to start to build back into our budget can be there. But every year we go through this ridiculous process where human services and youth services have to go through rankings and every $10,000, $5,000, $20,000 at a time. And I think our government can do that, and I think it's worth it to the community to have those there. So that's why I think that, that saying we should pit one of these against another is not the way to go about it. There were two in particular that we heard from the community. It takes a lot of work. People don't lightly undertake the kind of campaign we saw both on living wage and on the Big Brother, Big Sister program. We heard ways that this is impacting the lives of a lot of people, both the mentors and the mentees throughout the county in ways that we were surprised at the intensity of it. And we've seen petitions signed by hundreds, if not more, thousand people. And so that's why I highlighted these among the motions I put in.
May I just make one comment? Please don't characterize what the County Youth Bureau has done as ridiculous surveys. Because,
no,
excuse me,
I
did excuse
not say
me, ridiculous. Yes,
I did not use those words. I'm talking about
what we
ask them to do. To argue for each
five or
20.
Excuse me, Carol, it's my turn. It is something that they choose to do to evaluate all the programs that they operate. And it is a process that is new and taking place in a way that's helpful to the county legislature. We asked the Human Service Coalition with their board to do exactly the same thing, and they bring those to us. So please don't refer to the process as ridiculous. Now, you can answer if you want to.
I'm commenting on the psyche that we bring to our work that says that certain programs, we make choices, and certain programs are worthy of addressing $1 million at a time or hundreds of thousand dollars at a time, and others we choose to say you've got to come in with each 5,000 at once.
Okay.
And so,
Brian, you're next.
I'd like to address that. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have people out there that do perform a great service for us in evaluating and monitoring and hearing the reports from these various organizations.
I hear you. Thank you. Brian.
Thanks. And this is the first time I've heard about an issue with Big Brother, Big Sister. I didn't realize that there was an issue. Sorry. I heard it loud and clear. Trust me. Did I hear either during the presentation phase or last Thursday that there was going to be an effort to try to identify or seek out other funding sources going forward? Did I hear that? Please do.
Please come to the microphone.
The other funding sources, as it is currently, the City of Ithaca currently pays 81% of the budget, with the county, assuming this is approved, would be paying 15% of the budget. The other 4% is fundraising done by my staff, which has shrunk from 6 to 4 over the last 3 or 4 years. So there is no opportunity for us to seek other funding sources except to continue our efforts to increase our fundraising and find small grants here and there when we have time to do so.
Okay.
Our fundraising since 2009 has increased from roughly under $10,000 to this year just over $17,500, and we're not done yet. And we've done that with a shrinking staff. So
Okay. That's
about all we can promise in terms of additional funding sources.
Okay. But you're going to need to excuse me, but we've heard from lots of different folks, and I know some people, Ken has said that a couple of times about different things. That the only thing that does for me, I heard loud and clear the value of this program. By asking that question, it would be the only difference to me would be whether to fund that one time so that those other funding sources can be sought out, which I now hear there really aren't a whole lot, or whether it belongs in Target, which it sounds like it does.
And can I respond one or
say yes?
You can, but I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I concur.
I've just been sitting there thinking of so many things.
Stay right there.
Just say thank you.
Sounds good. I have Frank and Leslie.
I just have a... Al Green treated us to quite a write-up and included this chart.
Yes.
Have you seen this chart?
I have.
Okay. I just need clarification. At the top of the chart, it says, what's wrong with this picture? About 85% of Tompkins County children live outside of the city of Ithaca. And then the next line, about 15% of the children live inside the city of Ithaca. Then the chart has the page has a pie chart. 15% of the budget comes from the county, and 85% of the budget comes from the city. Does this imply that 85% of the approximately 170 kids that Amy mentioned, 85% of that 170 live outside the city, or does it mean that all of the kids in Tompkins County, 85% of all of the kids in Tompkins County live outside the city, whether or not they're participating in the program or not?
I believe he was trying to say the latter of what you just said, is that, you know, the point he was trying to make is that we cannot reach many of the kids that live in the county in order to serve them. So he was just saying in general, 85% of the children that exist in Tompkins County exist outside the city.
Okay. Can you, off the top of your head, somehow interpose the on the pie chart, while it's 85%, 15%, how many kids that are receiving service are within the city, and how many kids that are receiving service live outside the city? Is it possible to do that off the top of your head?
I can do it off the top of my head, but they do not match these numbers.
Okay. That was off of what Alan quoted in the meeting. So.
Right. No, currently, of the 170 children served, we estimate that 50 of those children are what we would consider the county-funded component. Most of those children live outside the city, and a few of those 50 children live in the city, as they are also in the county. So I would say roughly 50.
Roughly 50, and then the balance of them actually do live in the city?
And the rest of them currently live in the city. That was not the case, of course, 5-6 years ago when our budget, a county budget, was much higher.
And you could accommodate more of the kids outside the city, but in the past years because your budget was higher,
right.
So you could service those kids. I thank you. I was just having trouble interpreting the page.
Leslie, go ahead.
I don't remember what I was about to say at this point.
well, say whatever you want to.
Let me help, Leslie.
Having been on this body for way too long now, youth services year after year often seems like the low-hanging fruit when it comes to, you know, where things are being cut. And Carol may not have put it as well as she could have, but I understood what she was trying to say. I work for youth services, and I know most of you are on this table understand the importance of supporting the work we do with our youth so that we don't have to support other things later that are not as good for them. So I hope that in all our deliberation that one would see this as a place where we are making such a huge impact on our children's lives, especially given that it's not a program that's just focused on city youth, but county youth. And Brian, you know, was just whispering to me that we're getting a decent bang for our buck, the number of children that live within the county outside of the city limits who are served with this program. It's not what I wanted to say. I had something much more profound to say. But I'm running on fumes these days, and it really escapes me right now. But I hope we can just vote on this, and let's move forward.
We will do that. All in favor of the resolution to add $20,893 put forward by Nate and Carol, please raise your hand. And if you want to say aye, that's okay, too. Opposed, if any. That passes. What?
I'd like to withdraw my motion.
Okay, thank you. And we'll...
You know, the one I mean on 57 to make it one time.
Okay.
Is it irrelevant?
So Kathy is withdrawing her one-timer. And let me... Who else? The department head, Lee, is here. Why don't we do that while he's here? Okay?
Joe, there's an, Jim, there's another.
Yeah, Lee Dillon's here also.
Page 44410, that's a different youth services motion. Kathy, were you,
no,
were you
Kathy,
taking that?
No, Kathy took hers off.
No, I just took the one. I've got one for
The other is TC Action.
No,
right?
No, go another down.
It's
yeah.
Department offerings and something else.
That's the OTR number one.
I'm happy to explain. The one that is next on the list would be for TC Action. It's OTR 49. Then there's OTR 53. Both of those are on the list, and I think we can get through really fast. Really? Especially in the context of tonight's discussions, I think it would be...
So, you, Lee, you don't have to hang around. Okay. TC Action, right? Is that where we are, Kathy?
Oh, I thought we were going to lower youth services.
I'm sorry?
Well, TC Action is OTR 49, which is next on the list. Thank you. I'd just like a chance to talk about it real quick and say... I'm lucky enough to serve on the TCA board, and I have, I'm aware of the impact of sequestration. And the thing is, they already get a whole lot of leverage. I think at the excellent presentation that you saw the other night, you saw that they serve all over the county. The terrific map you saw with all the dots on it, and also the leverage that you get. Where is it? sorry, it was something like for every $1 you get something like 30.
39?
Thank you. I'm trying to read Pam.
36.
So this is huge, and it's another one of those places where our investment definitely pays off, and I hope to get my colleague's support with this. It's OTR 57. Thanks for seconding, Pam.
Okay, Pam.
Yes, I'd like to speak to this. I mean, one of the things that's hard to imagine is that not putting this $20,000 in would have a huge impact on a budget. You know, they have over a $5 million budget. But I actually got all of the impact assessment forms from Lee, and it's really quite remarkable the impact that our funding or not funding would have. For example, the Early Head Start program, the total cost of that program is $1,149,000, and the local share is $18,646.
Now, say that again.
The cost of the program is $1,149,000, and of that, $1,130,000 comes from the Department of Health and Human Services. So our cost locally is $18,646. But if they don't have that local share, then they don't get the $1 million. I mean, so it's a huge impact on their programs. Another one is that was the early Head Start. The regular Head Start, the program costs $2,124,000, and the net local share is $47,900. So it's minuscule, but it is like the foundation of their funding. And if they don't have that, it'll go. So I mean, we're talking all the programs that need that local share. They include the food pantry, Magnolia House, Chartwell House, the Corn Street Supportive Housing for Families, Victory Garden Weatherization Assistance Program. So it's an enormous impact. And I know that we cannot make up the gap all the time when we have these federal cuts. But this sequestration that's happened has thrown a lot of agencies for a loop, and TC Action is one of them. And I think what they are asking is that we give them this money for a year. We put it in one time so that it will hopefully something will have appeared on the federal government that might help the situation, or that they are able to find other means of getting the local share than Tompkins County. But this impact of not funding this $20,000 is enormous. It's potentially enormous on this organization. And anyway, Lee, if you had anything to add to that.
Well, I know I wish this was a simple computation. This is a difficult thing to explain. I was trying to explain it to Carol the last time we were here. Our federal programs require a 25% match. The county dollars don't provide the entire 25% match, but it's a very important piece of the match. Talking about programs, we serve the lowest income people throughout Tompkins County. Those people in the past 5 years, 15 of those have bought homes. I think that as an economic engine, Tompkins Community Action has done a lot of economic development, working with previously homeless men, women, and families, going to school, getting jobs, reuniting with their families, buying homes, reducing elderly and disabled people's utility amounts. We go into a house and leave, and the people have 25% less utility bills. I think that as an investment, we just had a New York State Department of State audit. They were there for 3 days. We have high marks in organizational capacity, the way our board is handled, the way we handle our money, the way we handle our staff. We rank in best practices. So
I'm asking you to invest in us this year. Please.
I have myself and then Frank and Peter. Pam made a statement that if you lose this $25,000, you'll lose $1 million? Or no?
No.
I'm just saying, I said that the local share of that $1 million is whatever it was I said it was. And that it could have that kind of, it just, the potential there. Okay. What we're leveraging by throwing that money in there is enormous amount of money. It's huge.
Point of order.
I want to correct a couple things. It's on as target money, not one-time money. Okay? And I have Frank and Peter and Pat. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to build on what Jim just asked. We're clarifying this. It's one time?
It's okay. Not in as one time. It's in as target.
If it's one time, and hope that the sequester, you know, we've gone through this with FoodNet also, where they got hurt by this sequestration, and we helped them out. And they cut this and they cut that and they went out and fundraised and had concerts and everything. How would you propose to, because I notice in the write-up, the one you gave us today, mm-hmm. you've trimmed in a couple of places. Mm-hmm. How would this be in 2015? What will change in 2014 that will not, we won't have to have you come back again, is I guess what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had a long relationship with the county, so I hope that I'll be coming back for many years. But your question was, when I asked for the money, I asked for $50,000, and I asked it in an over target. Kathy, I think, made a recommendation that it was target funding at 25. I'll negotiate.
Which restores it back to the original request.
Right. Oh, okay. I didn't understand that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, what we've done, sequestration hit us very fast and very hard. We reduced staff weeks. We have not rehired administrative assistants in three departments. We used to have four directors. We now have two directors. We're looking at getting some solar on roofs. We're looking at all kinds of utility reductions. So fundraising is another thing that the board has become a little bit more interested in. It's a difficult thing. Our board is a tripartite. One-third is low-income people, one-third is public, and one-third are private. So fundraising has been a difficult thing for us. We've been very successful over the years in grant writing. I think that you know that. You know that we've been very successful in our capital projects. I think I'm going back to the investment. I think having faith in us, having faith in my organization, our organization, is what I'm asking for you to do right now, to invest this for us now so that we can get through this. Losing money fast is a very difficult thing to get through, and we need a year or two to get through this, to reorganize, to build, or to become smaller, depending on what the federal government decides.
Okay. Just a quick follow-up. I think what you just said is what I wanted to hear. This, knowing that now that you're aware that by doing this, we are restoring you back to the tentatively.
Thank you.
Restoring it back to the 50,000, your original request for the 50-odd thousand. But that during the next year, all these things that you just mentioned are going to be looked at and
absolutely
and tweaked. I have to ask you this question because of my association with TCA in a different capacity. Is any of this associated with Section 8?
We do have a moratorium on the Housing Choice Voucher Program, the Section 8 program. During sequestration, we had about 980 Housing Choice Vouchers that were used throughout Tompkins County. We have a moratorium, and they would like us to get down to 935.
So we will lose about $30,000 in the Section 8 housing program in administrative fees.
I just then I need to disclose in my other life that some of the residents that I have in at least one unit right now are recipients of the Section 8 program.
Thank you for that disclosure. Peter, then Pat, then Carol, then Martha.
No, he said me first. You want to go first?
Or? Peter, Pat, Carol, Martha.
It's a little hard for me to follow all these numbers, but there was some time ago, there was two numbers given which were vastly different. One was that Pam said that there's a 50-to-1 ratio between how much the county puts in and how much the federal government will give in, and then you said there's a factor of 4, 25% of local match. So those two things don't fit together for me. Can you explain that to me, or am I missing something?
The federal programs require a 25% local match. That's an investment in the local community and these federal programs.
So we don't do the whole local match?
Nope. No, you don't.
And who else does the local match?
We have a delegate relationship with the Ithaca City School District where we give them 58 slots, so to speak, where they serve 58 Head Start eligible children in a Head Start program in this Ithaca City School District that we monitor. And so they transport children. They don't charge us rent. We use those kinds of in-kind to supplement that huge amount of 25% of our Head Start and Early Head Start program. The other numbers was for every dollar at $156,000 versus the amount of federal and state and private funding that we leverage, a dollar to $36.90. So they're two different kinds of numbers.
Lot of numbers floating around. I don't get it. I mean, if we put in an extra dollar into this program, how much leverage will there be for that dollar, assuming that nobody else puts in any money at the local level? How much money will come back to us?
What I'm asking for right now for you to help Tompkins Community Action recover some of the losses in sequestration.
I understand that, okay.
But I can't tell you exactly. I don't know. I'm ready to write another $3 million grant to build some housing. But I can't promise you what your $50,000 are going to get us right now. Right now, I know it's going to get us $6 million.
And no copper siding.
Copper siding is very sustainable.
I have Pat, Carol, Martha, Pam.
Thank you, Jim. Did we agree a few minutes ago that this is still target, still listed as target?
That's how I moved it. That's the motion I put up.
I have a question that relates to structure, I think, of our social service programs in the community. We have the human service agencies that go through the Human Services Coalition and have some kind of a screening system that happens before the recommendations come to us. I have two or three related questions here. I'm not seeing any connection between TC Action and the Human Services Coalition. Is that correct?
Well, up until last year, I was the board president of Human Service Coalition.
Is TC Action part of the Human Services Coalition?
No. We work together. I sit on their board as a board member.
What does that mean to say we work together? In terms of programming, in terms of evaluation of programs.
Well, during ARA, Tompkins County was very successful in receiving $4.2 million in rapid rehousing and homeless prevention. And there were, I think, four partners: Human Service Coalition, Tompkins Community Action, Department of Social Services, Catholic Charities. And so we all worked together to serve over 865 families who were at risk of becoming homeless in 2 years. So that's the kind of partnerships that Tompkins Community Action has with the Human Service Coalition, with the Department of Social Services, with Catholic Charities, with Cornell Cooperative Extension. We have many, 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 many partners.
But you're not part of the review process? Is that right. Your question?
Yeah.
Why are you not part of the Human Service Coalition in terms of their review process?
I've never been asked to be. We've never been asked to be part of that review process. I think that I don't believe the Cooperative Extension is part of that review process. I think maybe because of the size of our budgets, possibly. Maybe that's a question for not
so,
me.
So the review process for Tompkins Community Action is an internal process. Is that, would that be correct to say that?
We are monitored at least weekly by some funding source. So we do our own internal monitoring, for sure, but we are monitored by every funding source that we have. And I'd be happy to provide you with some of those monitoring reports.
Kathy is here from HSC. Give us a short answer why they're not involved.
There are a couple agencies that don't go through us. Cooperative Extension, TC Action, History Center. It's just tradition. It's been that way forever. They may have, if you want my guess, they probably approached the county for funding at one time separately. It may have been for capital funding, and that's just the way it's always been in the budget.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't. They've never been required to go through us. So I mean, I think they've just done their own thing.
Yeah. All right.
I guess I would say that over a period of time, as I've learned more about how we fund various agencies in the county, it's been reassuring to me that the Human Service Coalition exists and that they have the kind of allocation review that they have. And it would be, I wish that TC Action and some of these others that were mentioned were also had that same kind of process. And so I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I've been around since 85, and we've never gone, I've never gone through that process.
Okay. I would feel much better about this if it were one-time funding. We're talking about, you know, replacing money that was lost through sequestration and possibly in another year, hopefully, maybe some of that will be restored. We don't know what's going to happen. And I would feel much more comfortable voting for this if we changed it one time, but I don't think I can support it in target funding.
Is that a motion?
Yeah. Move that.
Is there a motion there?
All right, I'll make it a motion.
A motion or a second? Brian, second. I don't think we need any discussion on it. It's moved from target to one time. All in favor, signify by saying, oh no, raise your hand, please.
Wait a minute.
What are we voting on?
I'm sorry? We're voting on target to one time, but we're not voting on the 25,000. Get it?
Yep.
It's target to one time. It is now one-time money. All in favor of moving from target to one time the $25,000, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2. Somebody's not voting. 3.
Frank's standing in the back.
So from target to one time? Okay, so you got the vote. 11 for the fee. It is now one-time money. Do we need to have any more discussion? I have Carol, Martha, and Pam again. No for Pam.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we have time to vote on this tonight within our time frame, but I still would appreciate having a little bit of additional information that you could come back tomorrow night, since we're going to be here again. All of our other units, no matter what they are, come and tell us what their dollars, or what the specific dollars are going to go for. The Human Services Coalition, you know, comes and tells us this the agency is going to get this amount for this program, the youth services you heard. What you don't see is in our budget books, you know, we ask our highway department to tell us which roads and practically which potholes, and you're asking for $25,000 that feels like a drop in the bucket compared to this big need. We can't possibly do all of it. So which are you telling us, which of those various programs, funding you get from the federal government, which ones is that $25,000 going to help you save? You ask the school district asks which are the slots.
Carol, please let her answer, okay?
So I'm asking, I don't think she can do it just off the cuff, but to come back with a
give her
a
shot
tomorrow night.
Give her a shot.
So that's what I'd be looking for is...
You asked us the other night, and I referenced the impact sheets that have the county portion is in Chartwell House. It's a single room occupancy for previously homeless men. It's in transitional and permanent housing for families. It's in our Head Start and early Head Start budget. It's in our family home library, a literacy effort that we use with our families. Magnolia House, the new project with the cropper siding. Food pantry, our Victory Garden, where we served over 9,000 seedlings to 200 low-income families, and for our weatherization. So it tells, in our impact statements, it says how much money we would use of the county funds for each one of those programs.
So a follow-up, please? So,
why not?
But the $25,000, you need a million to get all the federal match to get to perform all of those programs.
Right, and we don't.
Which ones will our $25,000 rescue of your federal funding? That's what I'm asking, and I think it's the same thing we ask of all our departments and all the other agencies. So I don't think it's an unreasonable. And they didn't do it off the cuff. They came back and sent us other documents.
May I interrupt?
Sorry.
We're going to stay here for this one, and then we're done. Okay? Yes, we are, Martha.
I'm not sure the youth services department. I'm not sure why youth services, the two motions weren't put together, in which case we would have taken care of Amy and her.
Well, we're coming back tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, but Amy doesn't have to. Can we just do youth services?
We're on TC Action now, and, you know, people choose to talk about $25,000 in a $5 million budget, and they're not satisfied with the answers they get. We're going to stay here, okay? Carol, you have anything else?
No, I'm just asking if that's something you'd be willing to come back tomorrow night and just...
Sure, but the impact assessments don't get it.
What I see in the impact statements, my concern is that you need a million. You need another three-quarters of a million to
I can tell you where the other in-kind comes from. We have the in-kind. We can use in-kind. It doesn't have to be all cash. I'm certainly not asking the county to come up with 25% of $6 million.
Right. I want to be able to tell my constituents.
And so what I've done in the impact statements, and I think that you received this in your book, was the actual dollars amount that go to each one of these programs, which are called Chartwell House, Supportive Housing for Families, Transitional.
I'm familiar. Joe, can you take a stab at explaining what I'm asking for?
Well, I think you may be asking for something that's not possible to deliver.
Okay.
I think the difficulty here is that our money traditionally is used for leveraging. And it depends on the circumstances. It depends on what other monies they can draw down, some in-kind, some other things. They use our money to fill gaps. That's how our money has traditionally been used. So to be able to say it's all going to come out of early Head Start, it's very difficult to do, and Lee doesn't want to misrepresent how this would be applied. I think here she's dealing with an abrupt cut of federal aid because of sequestration and the amount of, how much did you lose in sequestration?
Oh, $650,000.
So she lost $650,000. She asked us to plug $50,000 of that $600,000 gap. My budget doesn't do that. My budget only would plug $25,000 of target money to do that. and she's asking for 25 more. So if you want to look at it that way, she's out there scrambling to find ways to fill the remainder of that $600,000 loss of federal funds. She's asking the county for a $50,000 assistance to help her do that.
I have Martha and Pam left here. Would you like to vote on this? All right. There's a one-time request for $25,337, right? Yes. All in favor of putting that amount of money in a one-time request for TC Action, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Opposed? Me. Peter, are you opposed?
Yes, sir.
And the vote is, 11 to 2?
12 to 2.
12 to 2. Who went home?
Right.
Okay, 12 to 2. We are done.
Thank you very much.
Okay.